Now, you're the first one I heard from when you sent out the text around 12:40 on Sunday.
Yeah, something like that.
No, I hadn't heard yet. Did anybody get a chance to listen to Hawkeye this morning?
I did a little bit. Most of what I heard this morning was Hawkeye talking to Cynthia Iseguide from WFAA, talking about how Terry Dorsey made her feel so welcome when she left Albuquerque and came to Dallas to work at Channel 8.
Why wouldn't he?
I guess she became a fast friend of the show. Part of it was since you know, she's from Dallas. She grew up here, so I guess she listened to Dorsey when she was young and continued that when she moved back.
I talked to Hawkeye yesterday. If anybody doesn't know, Terry Dorsey passed away over the weekend. And I said, do you think he knew he was terminally ill and didn't tell anybody, not even his family? And Mark said, I don't know. They said it's around 5:30, 6 o'clock Saturday night. And he was sitting in his chair. He was fine. He hadn't felt well for a few days, but, you know, who doesn't?
Yeah.
And I got up. I guess his wife got up and went into the kitchen. Came back 10 minutes later, and he was gone.
Jesus.
No noise, no screaming, just gone.
Just there 1 second, gone the next.
I don't know how massive coronaries work. I don't know if you feel the pain or you just, you're out, gone.
I think it's pretty much pretty quick, like a light switch.
We got time. I'll see if you can get a hold of J.R. Schumann, the ops manager for KSCS and the Wolf.
You got it.
Thank you. And obviously they were you know, people that hear shows on the air every day and they think, okay, they're all friends, they all hang out together.
Right.
Obviously it was more than that with Dorsey and Hawkeye, because as soon as Hawkeye found out, he flew to Illinois. He was on his way back Sunday when I talked to him.
That's amazing.
Think of how many people in radio would fly out of state, like, if I died. They'd probably fly out of state to Cancun.
Show trip! No. Well, the irony is we can't get you to go to Dallas.
Yeah, we wouldn't have to travel very far.
Yeah. Hey, Russ, come to Hearst. No.
No, there's like this. Between me and Hearst, there's distance. Time. I gotta stay at home.
You want to see Russ? Go to Abuelos. That's where we're gonna hold your memorial.
I don't know anything else. I've thought to check the KSCS website today. So I don't. I mean, obviously the funeral's gonna be in Illinois, so this won't be a fan event. Even though I think at least 30 years of his career was here.
Actually, I think I did hear at one point they are gonna have a memorial here.
Oh.
I don't know if they're going to do two separate ones or just the one here, but...
Well, then I'll find out. JR.
Sir.
How are you, Mr. Schumann?
I'm good. We're holding up.
How did Hawkeye do this morning?
He did really well. Probably better than I could have. And knowing their history, he did exceptionally well.
Now, Hawkeye was with Terry for...
26 years.
Now, when did you find out Terry had died?
Sunday morning. About 11 o'clock Sunday morning.
Well, Hawkeye was on a flight. Did I get it right? Did he fly to Illinois?
No, Hawkeye
Okay, I totally blew that one.
Yeah, Hawkeye was vacation. He had a weekend getaway, little vacation with his wife, and was in Utah. And when Terry's family called him, and then he was already planning to come back yesterday anyway, and it all just happened that news was getting out as he was getting on a plane.
Okay. Then I misunderstood. I talked to him after he got off the flight. I thought he'd flown to Illinois.
Wow.
No.
Okay. And he, I looked at Terry's or Cassius's Facebook page.
Yeah.
And I was surprised at a lot of the comments from, like, I should have printed them out. Clint Black.
Yeah.
Really?
That's the only one that stood out. I'm sure there were others. I got to Clint Black and I was just stunned that he had that type of relationship with the music community.
There were a lot of people that reached out. We got Troy Aikman tweeted the guys this morning. We had some phone calls from some of the country stars. Rascal Flatts called in. Brad Paisley called. Miranda Lambert reached out. There were a lot of people that called off the air as well. And then a lot of the former coworkers and stuff. But yeah, it was really surprising seeing how many people, celebrities now that grew up here that were impacted by Terry and were tweeting from wherever they are now or Facebooking and whatever.
Yeah, and when I talked to Mark yesterday, he said, you know, can we call you on Monday? I said, I will. The only reason I'd prefer not is because I hate it when somebody dies and other market jocks jump on the bandwagon and start doing interviews and kind of not really promoting their, sort of promoting themselves, their show. But you can if you need
to. What a nice guy I am, bit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I didn't, I said, if you want to, you're welcome to. You've got my phone number. I said, but if you're looking for somebody to help you not to cry, I'm out, slick.
Yeah.
I don't know why this one bothered me as badly as it did.
Yeah. You and I kind of talked about that yesterday. This one was tough. I've just floored.
I think part of the reason why
this was a tough pill to swallow. It all kind of hit me last night about 10:30. Everything became real. And, you know, during the day, we're making phone calls. We're getting everything ready for today. And what are we going to do? And how are we going to handle this? And notifying people and all of that. And then after all of the chaos stopped about 9:30 or 10 o'clock last night, and you had a moment to actually process it, it was like, wow, this is real. This really happened.
What were you going to say, Dan?
I was going to say, I think part of the reason why this has, you know, impacted everyone, even if you never met him like me, is because you respected him so much, not just for his longevity and everything, but the fact that he was such a nice man. I've never heard a bad word about him.
No, not from anybody that's worked with him. I mean, he only worked two places when he was at Dallas, KPLX and KSCS.
Yeah.
And I forget who was with him at KPLX. I know Hawkeye joined him, the move over to KSCS. And it's just weird to see in print because I've known both of them. I've known Terry longer than Hawkeye. But to see that they were together for 25 years, longer than marriages. And when Mark asked me, he said, if we do call, you know, maybe any stories that you want to tell. And the last time I think I remember seeing Terry is when we came into the studio with the TV show when we pulled down his pants and a big wad of fat shot out.
Oh, God.
He goes, yeah, maybe we won't call you. But Terry was always kind to us, put up with any grief we gave him on the air. He was a likable guy. And I had a hard time completing sentences when I was talking to you yesterday. And I haven't seen Terry probably in 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, I think there were a lot of people that felt the same way. I mean, there were people that never knew him except him being the voice on the other side of the radio and hearing their stories. And, one of the things they were talking about this morning, we would have people call in and send us messages or whatever that said, you know, they remember being a kid riding to school with their parents or whatever, listening to Terry Dorsey, and then they are now in their 30s with kids doing the same thing, driving their kids listening to Terry Dorsey. And as you know, in our business, that's almost just unheard of to span multiple generations in one market.
Did anybody from any other radio stations locally call?
I can't speak for Hawkeye. You're the only one that's reached out to me.
Okay.
And you reached out early yesterday afternoon, and you know, I told you yesterday how much I appreciate that, but you know, everybody needs to know that you were one of the first people to reach out, ask us what we needed, and like I said yesterday, one of the classiest guys I know, and so thank you for that.
You're going to be in trouble, JR. He hates when people do that.
I've never covered classy, but that's on the list now.
Yep.
I'm not a good guy. I'm not classy.
I don't know. Some of the evidence is starting to stack against you.
I'll take loyal.
Mm-hmm. Stand up. Easy, Alfie.
I'll go with stand up.
Okay.
I mean, how many times think about it. If you were out of work or whatever, how many radio friends called you when you were out of work? Hey, is there anything I can do for you? It wasn't until we got back to work, then you start getting the phone calls of, hey, can you get this? Or maybe some tickets to this. Like, never, unless you could do for something for somebody in radio, they ain't gonna call you.
Yeah, and that's usually how it is. And then if you're out of it for something, for whatever reason, like you had mentioned, usually they'll reach out just to dance on your grave. Ha ha, you're fired.
Ha ha, I'm still getting paid.
Yeah.
So were you guys able to get any of the charities listed on the KSCS website?
We asked, that was one of the questions that we asked Claudia.
That's a yes or a no.
And she didn't have that. I will tell you, Terry was very instrumental in the Vietnam Veterans Memorial here in Dallas.
The wall.
And and I remember, like, he was one of the guys, he held a radiothon, didn't help to raise money to get it completed and all that. And of course, you know, Terry being a Vietnam War veteran, that was something that really was special to him and meant a lot to him.
Then we will dig up the website and we'll promote that today. Instead of my foundation, the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund of Texas.
Yeah, that was...
If you think that's appropriate, if Terry's family would be okay with that.
I would think so. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to speak for them, but I know what the efforts that Terry went to here in Dallas for that, and like I said, conducted the radiothon to raise money to get that memorial completed and everything else. And him being a Vietnam veteran, that was something that was really special to him. So,
all right, then we'll do.
I don't think you can go wrong with that.
We'll do that then. All right.
Well, thanks, Russ.
You don't want to talk about the I'll ask you about it later. There was one other thing you and I talked about other people possibly mentioning this on their show or not.
Are you talking about in the building?
Yeah.
This morning, Terry was very well respected in the building.
Good. Okay.
Yeah. I think the ticket pretty much talked about him all morning. Same on the Wolf. Then, of course, the news stations, BAP and Cliff, are all covering it. So Terry was very well respected in the building.
I know at times people are a little wary of, well, you know, you don't want to focus on this too much. Yeah, it didn't work for our station.
Right.
It's like, first of all, JR said, I took care of that real quick. But it's... So not just who works at this station or whatever. Either this is a community or it's not. Just because we're on a different frequency doesn't mean we don't live in the same part of North Texas. So if somebody passes and it's a big deal and there's some type of common relation, you talk about it. You don't ignore it. You don't go, hey, some country guy, I can't really mention the call letters, you know, passed away over the weekend. I hope his family's all right.
Yeah.
It's more than that. Either you relate to the audience or you don't. So nice job on chewing ass.
I learned from the best.
Yeah.
Okay, we got a break.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
All right, Alfie, I'm just going to have to tell you on the air.
I got something. If you want, I can start writing.
In memory of Terry Dorsey, you can donate to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund. The website is VVMF.org.
Can you run that by me one more time?
VV, Victor, Victor, MF, as in, you know.
Mike Foxtrot.
.org. That's a Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund.
All right.
Got it?
Got it.
Okay, here we go. Let's start the bet over. We're going to run out of time. 3:36, first check on traffic. Alfie Coy is in KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic is brought to you by the Texas Lottery. Let's get started off in Dallas, eastbound 635, just before Skillman Road. Got an accident there blocking the three right lanes. Traffic is completely stopped back from the high five. This one involves two 18-wheelers, one of which is jackknife, so it's probably going to be there for a while. It's about a half-hour delay. Also in Dallas, westbound 635, right at Plano Road. Got an accident blocking the two right lanes. Traffic there is backed up back from Jupiter Road. In Farmers Branch, south on I-35, just before Valley View, got an accident blocking the right lane. Traffic there is backed up back from Beltline. And in Grand Prairie, westbound I-30, just before MacArthur, got an accident blocking the right lane. Traffic is backed up back from Westmoreland. All right, give me a second. In memory of Terry Dorsey, please donate to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund. The Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund serves to honor and preserve the legacy of service of America's Vietnam veterans. To donate today, visit vvmf.org. I'm Alfie Coy and the Eagles, Black Thunder.
Are you out of breath? Are you crying?
I'm trying not to cry, man.
What's the matter?
Man, can I tell you later?
No. Oh, it's okay for me to cry on
you. Well,
no. All right. You got a couple of spots, and then we'll find out.
Eagle weather brought to you by Subway. Tonight's going to be cloudy along with some light rain. We'll hit an overnight low of 47. Tomorrow, more clouds, and we see a high around 65. Right now, 50. A 97.1, the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show. Don't believe me, just watch.
Don't believe me, just watch. Don't believe me, just watch. Don't believe me, just watch. Don't believe me, just watch. Did he just say put some N-word in it?
No, liquor.
Oh.
Man.
That ain't what I thought he said.
That'd be a different tune.
Put some N-word in it.
Let's not do that. There's too much of that going around.
Add too much soul.
Yeah.
You better make sure that you better make sure it's from concentrate.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to take it straight. All right, Alfie, what's wrong with you?
The Vietnam veterans thing just kind of gets to me. I don't know if you've ever been out to the memorial in D.C.
No, I've been to the wall out near Fair Park.
I've never been to that. I want to go now. But
I was there when it opened. Actually, not when it opened. I don't want this to turn into a Matt Lauer thing.
Mm.
But the program director that I had in the mid-80s, I believe when the wall was constructed, was Jim Thomason. He was a Vietnam vet.
Okay.
So he was big into it, so I was big into it.
Understandable.
Well, not because I had to, but, you know, when you're around somebody and they tell you stories,
it inspires you.
It does. So go ahead. You went to the one in D.C.?
It's just a moving experience, man. My dad was a Vietnam vet, so anything associated with it really, really kind of gets to me. And I can understand why a man like Terry Dorsey would support something like this.
But I can't remember of any time he ever brought it up. I didn't see it in his you know, it's KSCS webpage.
I never knew it until JR mentioned it.
I knew it. I asked Hawkeye yesterday, is there something that, does Terry have one specific charity? I know he's worked with the Children's Miracle Network,
mm-hmm.
something like that. I said, is there one? I went, does he have a foundation? And Hawkeye immediately said, you know what? Then that's when he brought up, he said he was really proud at helping construct the wall in Dallas for the Vietnam vets. Said, okay. Then I suggested, well, if you guys come up with a list of charities that Terry liked, you could put them on KSCS.com, save you guys a lot of time and trouble, and we'll just promote KSCS.com because our company doesn't have a problem promoting somebody else.
No. And if it did,
we can do it anyway.
Exactly. What you gonna do?
Yeah.
That's what happens when you feed the monster. I got emails last week and the week before. What do you mean when the corporate's giving you compliments, they're feeding the monster? That's what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about somebody else. Again, it's a community, and I'm not trying to be deep or...
Stand up, classy, good dude.
Sorry, I just looked at the Wheel of Punishment to see if anything was good on it.
Nothing good on there. Nothing to be had. Stop it. Quit looking at it. Alfie said it.
I believe you said most of it.
I was repeating what he told me to say.
But that's it. Whether you listen to Dorsey or not, whether you listen to Craddock or not, you knew who they were, and you knew they were in the market. You knew they not only did well and chose this as home, but they also worked with the community and did charity events. And they didn't have to. You can always say to management, it doesn't say anywhere in my contract, I got to do charity stuff.
No.
Only time I got to do any type of charity stuff if it's court ordered.
Ooh. Yeah, it doesn't quite hold up as much as, you know, doing it voluntarily.
Yeah, the whole blood drive. Is it Wadley that Bo and Jim do?
I think it's
Carter.
I think it's Carter.
Yeah, it's Carter.
You know, they don't have to do that.
No, they, well,
I mean, they need the blood. Bo and Jim.
But they're like Bluebell.
Yeah. Bo and Jim take what they need, and then they sell the rest.
Yeah. Man, that turned fast.
Yeah. Hold on a second.
No, they're really good guys.
Yes, Calvin.
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing. What are we doing?
Am I on the air?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, tell Russ, bottom line is, hey, look, we love the show. We're going to donate to Terry Deutsch's whatever his cause was, and we're going to take care of that and the police and firemen. And shit. Oh, shucks.
Calvin.
Yes.
What are you doing right now?
Okay.
What are you drinking?
Crown Royale.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
How long have you been sitting on the couch watching TV drinking?
Since
September? Since when?
The last hour or so I've been sitting here drinking.
Oh. Are you upset about something, or are you just chilling?
No, I'm just trying to donate to Terry Dorch's Veterans Fund, and I'm
Now's the time for him to donate.
I'm trying to donate to the Terry non-veterans fund.
Here we some more Royale.
I have some Crown Royale with cheese. And I have that with a Hawaiian burger.
It's a surprisingly good combination.
Dan, I just looked at the video stream. Are you standing sideways?
No, why?
Well, then your camera's crooked.
Am I looking at it right?
I don't. I am standing straight up, and I am parallel to the table.
All right, give me a second. Talk about something of your interest for a minute.
I hate when you do that.
Why? Well, the sign looks good behind you now.
Does it?
Yeah.
Well, it's crooked. That's the only reason. Something was wrong with the camera shot.
Oh, so now you have something. It's like, in other words, I'm standing in front of a level. Yeah, it looks like I'm on a hill.
Yeah.
Well, and the camera, once I straighten it up, gradually just drifts back to where it was.
So you got a camera with a mind of its own.
Yeah, I'm sure the guy on the phone, if he's watching a video stream, Dan is sideways.
It's not just me there, Calvin.
I just
sitting on the couch. How's the Crown Royale with cheese watching?
I wonder why he's listening to the radio. You can watch TV. That's what I do at home. I don't go home and go, yeah. I can't watch TV in the car.
Some people do both. Especially now with the streams. People will get home. So many people have TVs now that hook up to the internet, so they watch the show on their TV.
And that eagle sign that's behind you.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be in the lobby, the original. Well, almost the original Eagle Studios. They all hit 97.1 KEGL. And it was just shoved in a closet when the station changed formats, whatever year, 90s.
Mm-hmm. Early 90s.
They threw that in a closet And when I left, I stole it.
I think that's how most radio things come into our possession.
Well, who deserves it? Who should it be with? Because they were just going to chunk it.
Well, I don't know. Maybe.
And that's a large wood sign with carved letters and whatnot.
Yeah, that was back when they knew how to build stuff.
I just, on the way out, I went, well, I don't think anybody else here deserves this, so I'm taking it.
Because everyone else hadn't thought of it, or everyone else is already gone?
I don't know.
Did you ask Moby if he wanted it?
Moby never had a chance to get anything. Well, he just brought him into the office one day and said, all right, fat man, you're out.
Oof.
Damn.
But they paid off his contract.
So I guess he felt okay about it?
I suppose. There was stink all around that. I didn't hear it directly, so I'm speaking out of turn.
Mm-hmm.
But they decided they wanted to move Craddock to mornings, and they took Moby off. And Moby's sidekick was Michelle Dibble.
Okay.
It was his news chick. And somebody said he went back into the other side of the building and screamed at her and blamed her for the entire failure of the show.
Well, that's not very leadership-like.
Well, when you think things are over, what do you care? It's like Dan Lewis. When we left the Eagle the first time. First time?
In the 2000?
In 2000. He decided he was going to tell the program director everything was wrong with the station. What do you care?
Because Dan Lewis was an expert at that point.
We're leaving. We got another job. We're going over to CBS. Why bother? And the other thing is, if you really wanted to make him feel bad, say, I know how to fix this station, but I'm not telling you. Why give him, you know, ideas on how to turn things around or how to succeed after our show left? And I really didn't think the station would fall after we left. It suffered, Stevens and Pruitt leaving, and Moby leaving, and Craddock leaving, Howard Stern leaving. Why would our show be any different?
Mm-hmm.
But damn.
Man, you sure?
Man, they this place up while I was gone.
Well, you know how to leave.
That should have been the first thing I said out of my mouth when we came back on the air 5 years ago. Man, they this place up while I was gone.
You know how to leave a crater. Go ahead. You fill this in while I'm out.
I really thought, you know, they had Rich Barrow who was going to try and take over the show. And I don't know how long that lasted.
It was Chris Ryan and Rich, or Chris and Rich, or whatever.
I remember hearing that. Yeah. Man, that was awkward. And I love Chris Ryan.
Well, Chris never wanted to do mornings. They just said, Chris, you want to do mornings? Okay.
Chris is not what you would propose as your standard morning guy.
Yeah.
Well, Chris is laid back and cool, and he's Chris Ryan.
He doesn't mind doing whatever. Chris? Yeah. You want to do mornings on the Eagle?
Yeah, okay.
It'll be you and Rich.
I'm all right with that.
You'll have to get up early.
Yeah, okay, we got a problem.
But just to watch the Eagle over the years while we were gone, all the different changes from it went to Sunny 97,
mm-hmm.
Which was adult contemporary.
Yeah, they were going to compete with KVIL.
With, I think Fast Eddie Coyle did mornings. Dude, at a certain point in your life, you really probably need to drop some of the nicknames.
Yeah, I think
if you've been successful your entire career with, like Kid Craddock,
mm-hmm.
then you keep it. But if you kind of did afternoons on the Eagle for a while as Fast Eddie Coyle and then maybe went to the Bone for a while, because everybody seemed to go to the Bone or the mm-hmm. whatever 93.3 was.
Yeah.
Then they'd flip-flop around, and he did mornings on Sunday 97.
So you think at some point he should have dropped the Fast and just gone more?
I think I would have just dropped the Eddie Coyle. Because his career really...
So the name recognition was hurting?
Yeah.
Ooh, it's that guy.
My name should describe the show and how long I'll be here. I'll keep Fast.
I'm...
Oh. I did check a few emails during the break. Yeah, I wrote a eulogy for Terry Dorsey. I'm drinking before I do it. I don't know why this one bothered me.
It's like,
it shocked me with Craddock, only because he and I are the same, or we're the same age. I don't know. Maybe I felt bad because Dorsey was such a nice guy and he retired and didn't get to enjoy any of his retirement. Maybe that was it.
That was one thing I did hear Hawkeye say this morning, was that he knew that Terry was looking forward to so much spending time with his kids and his grandkids and not having to be up to do a morning show. He just wished he had more than 3 months to really enjoy it. Although he did say that, because he was having Terry Dorsey call in on Thursday mornings at like 7 a.m. I think the first or second week he was supposed to call in to Hawkeye. They called and woke him up. and Hawkeye tried telling Terry, hey, we can do this later on. It doesn't have to be at 7. Terry's like, nah, it's okay. But apparently it didn't take him long. I think Hawkeye said about a week for him to finally get into sleep late Terry.
When we left mornings, it took us driving home.
Yep.
Yeah.
Whole life change.
That's why the whole debate over daylight savings time, I don't give a flying couldn't care less. Mm. Oh, that means, you know, if I'm getting up at 9, I'm really getting up at 10. Oh,
mm-hmm.
But back when I was doing morning, or we were doing mornings.
Oh, that was.
Daylight savings time, when you picked up that hour,
mm-mm.
It's like, damn, oh, you got extra, I put up a tree.
That's right.
Let's have a parade.
Yeah.
Bring me some citrus.
That weekend in November, magical.
Magical.
But then.
And I even try to take advantage of it for a while of, all right, I'm not changing my clocks at the house. I'm going to get up at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And then just kind of gradually work into savor it instead of just eating it up the first few days. Because after a few days, your clock's already changed in your mind. And it's back to, oh, hell.
Yeah. You've adjusted.
But that didn't work long. Of trying to just kind of phase in that new hour. Change the clocks 10 minutes every week. And just savor it a little bit as you listen. Now, Terry Dorsey or anybody, but Terry did it for so long. I don't know. It's just, again, I go back to the question. I meant to ask JR about that, but only Hawkeye or Dorsey's family would know. Because he just retired and he goes, all right, I'm retiring. You know, he told the company and they went, when? Tomorrow.
Yeah. I don't think it was tomorrow. I think
I don't think it was two weeks.
I think it was.
He didn't give him 2 weeks.
I think it was.
Alvy?
One week?
I think it was on like a Monday or Tuesday and he was retiring that Friday.
Yeah. He didn't give him 2 weeks notice.
Okay. So short of 2 weeks. But yeah, either way, he walked in and I think JR, Hawkeye, everyone over at KSCS were expecting him to retire, you know, like in a few months or something.
Or like Letterman, and I'm going to retire, you know, next year.
Yeah, end of the year.
Or Carson, you know, 1991 will be my last year, whatever following year he retired.
Mm-hmm. No, instead he was just like, I don't know, next Friday.
I'm spur of the moment. I read on online, I was looking at different stuff about Terry to write his eulogy.
Mm-hmm.
And that one was really a hard one. I even posted that on Facebook. I went, this one is going to be a hard one to write. Because short of calling him, you know, an exotic Maserati, there was nothing really else to poke fun.
I know that's kind of what's hard with someone who's so damn likable and who is nice and genuine. It's
like making fun of your papa.
Yeah.
But he's not even really old enough to be my papa.
Wow. The look and the phrase, woo, all came at the same time.
At least the people on the video stream got to hear it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're going to need to give them a few seconds to recollect themselves. Because, woo.
Yeah, there was no warning look. It mm-hmm.
It was just all so instantaneous of.
No.
You know, it was like writing eulogy and then, you know, maybe even making fun of him in different parts. It's like making fun of your pawpaw. But he's not even old enough to be my pawpaw. And Dan goes, no. And then that's when you got to, F you, Dan.
You know what that reminded me of? It reminded me of the end of Taken. When the bad guy is holding Liam Neeson's daughter and he says, hey, maybe we can go. End of movie.
Was there more you wanted to say? Did you want to say She ate?
Yeah.
That'd have been funnier had he finished the sentence for him.
Yeah. And Liam just basically goes in. It's, the end of the movie is in the script is probably bang, hug daughter, credits. End of perfect film.
Yeah, I haven't seen. Is it out on? I know we're all over the place.
Yeah, it's
all
right. We usually
the
are.
New Taken, on the plane. Not on a plane.
Nope, that's a different movie.
Where he's accused of something. Is that one on DVD yet?
Taken 3.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Not yet.
Oh, you're talking about a totally different movie. Where he's an air marshal, right?
That's a separate movie.
Shush. You.
That is a separate movie, not in the Taken realm. There was a third Taken. What you're talking about, he gets accused of killing his wife. That I don't think has hit DVD yet.
Okay.
Just curious.
You know, I was also shocked that, I'm not going to belabor this all day, but I can if I want to, because I miss Terry.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't listen to him. I didn't talk to him. But I knew he was there. It was kind of like with Ron Chapman, who's still alive. Something about Dallas-Fort Worth radio. And as whether you listen to them or not, just the fact that they're there, the gold standard is still in place. Any of that make any sense?
It does. It's comforting. Because most of us dislike change. Certain things we might be okay with changing, but there are certain things that we are comfortable with and we appreciate knowing that there's consistency. But
even if you never listened to Terry,
right.
you knew who he was.
You associated him directly with KSCS.
And Dallas-Fort Worth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we're talking about it, because it's not just KSCS, it's North Texas. And he was always cool to me. And I'm sure we share some listeners in the afternoon, especially since we've gone Merle.
Yeah.
I got an email today from a listener just in the subject line, nothing else, just said Merle. I sent back, and he goes, sing it. You like an honor of Terry Dorsey? Anybody. I don't care.
Whatever your motivation, he just wanted you to sing it.
It's like Dallas-Fort Worth has lost a little bit of its gold standard. Again, not trying to be trite. I just want to make sure that at least somebody says something nice about me when I'm f***ing dead.
Who?
I don't know. You guys draw straws. We'll be back.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show. Never miss a moment. Even in the AM. The Russ Martin Show. Weekday mornings, 7 to 11. On Talk Radio 1190.
405. This is KEGL. Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Another check on traffic. Alfie Coy is in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Subway. Not a whole lot going on. Let's get started off in Dallas. Eastbound 635 just before Skillman. That accident there has been cleared out. Traffic's unwinding back from the High 5. In Grand Prairie, eastbound 30, just before MacArthur, got an accident there in the clearing stages. Traffic is backed up back from Westmoreland. And in Fort Worth, westbound I-30, just before Las Vegas Trail, got an accident there. Traffic's backed up back from Green Oaks, Lackland. Listen to Skull tomorrow morning at 7:25 for a shot to win a pair of tickets to go see 3 Days Grace on April 23rd at the Bomb Factory. Details are online at KEGL.com. I'm Alfie Coy, the Eagles Black Thunder.
From the Staples Weather Center, Eagle Weather brought to you by the Texas Lottery. Cloudy and light rain tonight, a low of 47. Tomorrow, cloudy, high of 65. Right now, 50 at 97.1 Eagle.
Attention all criminals, hoodlums, and scofflaws. Have you been looking for the dando perfect for the delinquent in you? After months of tedious litigation, Pretty Little Dan Inc. is proud to reveal Grand Theft Dando. Oh. Besides being a top-of-the-line pleasuring device, it also doubles as the premier criminal assistance apparatus.
Of course it does.
Grand Theft Dando includes these stealth accessories: a slim gem, precision diamond tip glass cutter, a set of lockpicks, a Romulan cloaking shield, a hydraulic grappling hook with high tension.
A Romulan cloaking shield?
I didn't write it and I forgot about that.
You people.
And Alfie, what is it, the climbing rope? Is it tensile?
Tensile, yeah.
Okay, I think I got it right.
Gem, precision diamond tip glass cutter, a set of lock picks, a Romulan cloaking shield, a hydraulic grappling hook with high tensile climbing rope, masterfully hand-woven from Dan's titanium strength-ass hair. You're probably asking yourself, where the f*** is the pleasure? Well, here's the best part. The Grand Theft Dando conveniently collapses into a colon-filling capsule. With its special sphincter-seeking technology, every item of the Grand Theft Dando knows where to go and what to penetrate. Order today and receive a free KERA tote bag. So when you're done.
All right.
That's the only part. Chloe and Alfie wrote it. That's the only part I changed.
All right. I can't be mad at that part. The rest of it's bad.
Technology, every item of the Grand Theft Dando knows where to go and what to penetrate. Order today and receive a free KERA tote bag. So when you're done, if you don't explode into a gooey, satisfied pile of blood and organ pieces, you'll have a place to stash your Grand Theft Dando as well. Order now. Another fine product from PLD Inc.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Okay. Move on to something different. We'll come back to Mr. Dorsey.
Okay.
Later. And by the way, online, I posted this on Facebook. It was just a picture of Terry Dorsey. I did the artwork. It's Hawkeye's fault. I got the year wrong. 2015, I got.
Oh, the year he was born?
Yeah. Because the newspaper article said he was 66 or 68. Hawkeye said he was 66. I went, well, who's going to know better?
Yeah.
Then I finally find out both of us were wrong.
Whoops. So what year was he born?
48.
Gotcha.
Or 49.
Well, you've got 49 on there.
49?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure.
I got 48.
Oh, okay.
I had 49.
Okay.
Or 47.
Really?
Well, there was a lot of coverage on his Terry Dorsey's death, but they were all kind of copying whatever Channel 8 had written, almost or the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. So that there wasn't really a lot of new stuff, and I didn't really want to bother Hawkeye over the weekend. You work with somebody for 25 years, even if you hate him, which he didn't, you're still going to feel a loss. I felt a loss. I didn't work with Terry a day.
Right.
So I didn't want to bother him. I'll bother the ops manager at KSCS and the Wolf.
Yeah, we can do that. We'll poke him.
And he didn't really seem to know. This is harder than finding out the meaning of Christmas.
Anybody knows?
Then finally, I got the information that it was 48 or 49.
You still don't know.
I just went with it. How many other jocks put up artwork on their Facebook page or whatever? Or on our video stream, their video stream?
I don't think anyone else really has a video stream.
I worked a while on that.
But it looks good. I don't know why he had to use his full first name.
I thought it was appropriate. Shows an air of respect. Terrence quotes Terry Dorsey. That was his name.
Okay.
What's wrong with that?
I don't know. Maybe he didn't like Terrence.
He probably didn't. But I think it shows. I'm sure on his tombstone it will say Terrence. Terrence L. Dorsey. But that's just me.
I don't know.
Your insightfulness has been...
Is it staggering? Yeah.
It's been invaluable.
But, you know, it's why I'm here.
Okay. What was the... There were two emails we got. One I understood, one I didn't. The longer one I understood. The short one, I didn't really get it.
We'll start with that one?
Yeah. See if you guys can explain it to me first.
All right.
I read it.
Okay. Dear Russ, I used a bit of advice you gave a while back. I'm a teacher. I was buying whiskey on Saturday, and a mother of one of my students approached me and said, "How dare I buy liquor in public? I'm a teacher." Blah, blah, blah.
Where the hell else am I going to buy it? Go to the black market? Drive to another district?
That's a really great point. How dare you buy liquor in public?
What else are you going to buy? You going to buy cigarettes? Are you going to buy condoms?
So,
well, hang on a second. He was buying liquor?
Mm-hmm. I was buying whiskey.
And what was she doing there?
Yeah, exactly.
Because you can buy wine anywhere.
Doesn't matter, though. I mean, she sees it as, you know, he's supposed to be some sort of role model, and how dare he be in a liquor store.
Okay. So far, I understand the email.
He continues. So I nodded and shouted, "You're disgusting!" A manager walked over and asked what happened, and I told him, "This woman propositioned me to trade sex for booze."
I'm still with him.
She was kicked out of the store. Then he says, "I was approached by the mother and the principal at work today, and he asked if it was true. I said no, and introduced myself to the mother. She left in a huff. Later, the principal approached and asked again after work if it was true, but opened with the question, 'Russ Martin?' I said, 'Yes,' and we laughed about it for several minutes, my job secure and head held high."
See, that's where it gets confusing. Was the mother never in on it?
No.
Why would the principal think, "Did you pull a Russ Martin?"
Because he must be a listener. Because the mother would have told him, the principal, the situation, and he would have noticed that as, I'm pretty sure I heard Russ say that before.
Had I used that exact example?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Where if someone, you know, does something or approaches you or whatever the case is.
Well, you would think that the teacher would have said, if they were kicking her out, "Hey, I'm just kidding." But it sounds like he let them kick her out.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Why are you confused?
Why wouldn't he still be in trouble? He got her kicked out of someplace for accusing her of saying something she didn't say.
Yeah, but that was at the liquor store where he didn't have to answer to anybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it kind of seemed like there should be more coming from this, and there might be, but as of now.
Well, just the fact the principal went, "Oh, okay." There aren't many ISDs that do that.
No, yeah. And they're definitely not going to go on a record with it. Be like, "So,
did you say this woman offered you sex for whiskey?"
Mm-hmm.
Yes. "Did you hear that on the radio?" "I did." Okay. Dismissed.
I guess there's a bond thing that happens. Or it's sort of like, okay, now the principal to the teacher, we're on the same page. We're good. Your job's fine. But maybe, just maybe, let's not do that to parents of our students again.
I think I'm calling BS on a lot of this. It sounds good, but to be able to scream out,
"What? She offered me sex for whiskey. Cheap whiskey. I wouldn't give this whiskey to my horses."
And just to get off the hook by going, "Yeah, I heard Russ talk about it. I'd like to think I carry some type of weight, but I don't know. That wouldn't get me off the hook. Even if I said I knew me, it wouldn't get me off the hook."
Well, it.
You ever tried it and got off the hook?
I've never even tried it.
Yeah, but why would he spend all this time emailing it? He wouldn't just do, "Hey, I'm going to send Russ this funny thing." You know what I mean?
Well,
I'm trying to think of the scenario we were talking about where, in my mind, it would have been justified. Was it, we were talking about the chick that was behind you telling you, "Hey, why are you getting that diet soda?"
I think that was it. Yeah. Yeah. It was at Einstein Bagels. And this woman behind me while I was getting a soda says, "You know, you shouldn't get diet soda. Do you watch Dr. Oz? Dr. Oz says you shouldn't drink diet soda."
Like something like that, or I don't know. I just, in my mind, whenever I threw out that scenario, it seemed to make sense and there would be no trouble that you would be getting into.
Yeah. I think it was for me, I don't remember what I said, but it wasn't, hindsight 2020, you never say the exact thing you wish you could have after you think about it. You're like, "Oh, man, I should have said this. This would have been awesome. This would have been epic."
No, I'm normally prepared.
Yes, you are. And that was what
the
you gave.
The only thing that makes me stumble from time to time is all the choices.
I'm not sure how big of an ass to be right now.
I haven't decided what level you've pissed me off to this point.
Should I go light or just go for the jugular?
I've been in line with my groceries for 10 minutes, and this woman asked to cut in front of me. Do I go with?
What? Let you in front of me for sex?
Or, sure, go ahead.
Or just a standard F no.
Mm-mm. No, because normally somebody that you don't see in your peripheral will step up and go,
hey, man, that's my wife.
Oh, hell. But if you say, sex to let you cut in line, then you go,
did she really say that?
Yes, she did.
Baby, did you say that?
No.
Yeah, she did.
I'm sorry, I got to bleed a white man. I'm sorry, Pavlovian.
Jeez. And then the other guy. So I was having a crappy Friday, and the drive home was terrible. Traffic jam. And
which day was this?
Friday.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I'm sorry. Anyway, he says, traffic jam was complete crap, and the only thing that made it interesting was your James Brown, Bruno Mars, Uptown Funk, I Need Some Citrus segment.
I had no idea until after the show. Alfie came in giggling. He goes, we did a whole segment on dance. I mean, we did a dance segment?
And, yeah. In essence, yes.
There's no way. Even in my most drunken stupor, I wouldn't try and do an entire segment on, a dance segment.
Got bad news.
I remember it was pretty lengthy. I don't remember it being the whole segment, but Alfie and I talked about it as well because Alfie brought it up to me. He goes, I can't believe we did a whole segment. I go, really, the whole segment?
Now, how was the conversation flowing? Was it, it's time for an intervention because now we're doing dance segments on the radio? Or, hey, that was funny. Nobody has an answer.
I just think it was funny. It was awesome. It was a
How did you mean it, Alfie?
It was fantastic. We had people calling in going, oh my God, I can't see you guys at all, but I can imagine all sorts of crazy crap you're doing. We had a dance party in the middle of the damn show.
Yeah, very spontaneously.
Yeah, I got a text from Officer Lonnie that just said he was watching on the video stream. I guess he was off that day.
Okay.
He said, I did a pretty good James Brown. Swipe motherfuckers are crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And said I look fat. He said, maybe you need to do a few more planks.
Did he really?
Yes, he did.
I don't believe him. I don't believe you.
Oh, he did. I'm going to take it from a brother. All right, so the email says.
He goes on to say, well, last night I was getting lucky with a girl I hadn't seen in a while in the front seat of her car, and the radio happened to be on. And what comes on? Uptown Funk by Bruno Mars. The next
Is that what we were dancing to?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the new bumper I made. Yeah. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, he says, the next 5 minutes were hilarious. As I thrusted with all my might, laughter was so close just to come out uncontrollably. I usually stay pretty quiet during sex, so this is rather odd. As the song kept going from verse to hook, I just couldn't help but play back in the back of my head, Russ hollering like James Brown. So I started to slowly giggle and then laugh. The girl asks me, what's wrong? Can you guess what I said? I said, I need some citrus.
And I don't know where that came from.
Oh, I do.
Okay.
It started with your James.
Read the rest of the email, then we'll go get back to where citrus came from.
Okay. She looked at me with the most confused face, so I quickly tried to play it off. How the F do you play that off? Well, I didn't let it ruin my moment. I finished up what I set out to do, said goodbye, walked back up my driveway, almost dying of laughter. Story of my life right there. Thanks, boss.
Where did citrus come from? I know I said it.
You did. You said it.
I don't remember the entire dance segment.
No.
But I remember saying citrus.
It had to do with at some point I made a reference about James Brown during his dance number or song would need a halftime, and at halftime you eat orange slices like you did when you
I think
played.
It was after I got up and danced for a second. I sat down and went, yeah, my blood sugar's low.
Yeah, that's right. I said, hey, you seem like you're out of wind. You need a halftime and some orange slices.
Bring me some citrus.
And there you have it.
I don't know why that was funny. Why?
Because it's so generic.
Yeah.
It's so just, who would say that? You know what I mean? And
well, I can't say, yeah, bring me some orange slices. Dan already said that.
Yeah.
So I'd have had something obviously a little different.
And it was.
Let me play the bumper because it's a pretty long one. Instead of asking Flo to find the song.
Yeah.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Feeling it.
Yeah, that's going to get me an award.
Maybe from the Florida Juice Council.
Some mellow yellow.
I said, bring me some mellow yellow. And then after I get my blood sugar up, I get all my citrus, bring me some soup. He hears that song one time on our show and citrus sticks in his head.
It was a big moment.
It wasn't.
It really was. Of everything that happened on Friday, that was what got everyone's attention. Especially when
which
the guy...
Which is me losing my mind, jumping away from the console and go, bring me some citrus!
Yes.
Okay. And that is why I've never won Disc Jockey of the Year, never been named anything by Billboard Magazine, never been inducted in any Hall of Fame like Terry Dorsey.
Yeah, but you don't want to be in the Texas Radio Hall of Fame.
No, right. I didn't say the Radio Hall of Fame. The Country Music Hall of Fame. That's ooh, a real deal. Terry was also in the Texas Radio Hall of Fame, but, you know, after being inducted into the Country Music Disc Jockey Hall of Fame, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And Billboard Magazine's Local Personality of the Year, that's a big deal. I ain't never won a damn thing. It's because I do stupid stuff, like have dance parties. James Brown Boo Boo Kitty Dance Party, and say, I need citrus.
In the middle of afternoon drive.
Yeah, it's not like it's overnight. We're just kind of get into the groove.
You can hide from it.
Driving around listening to Bruno Mars and James Brown going, bring me some citrus. Bring me some Tangelos. Mountain Dew Sunkiss.
On a rock station.
That's mellow yellow.
Maybe you got to sit in a clip to be considered for those things.
Maybe we don't, because if we send it a clip, we know we're not going to get anything.
You don't know. Someone might see it as groundbreaking. And how awesome would it be if you were actually named... yeah.
Say the words. I want to hear somebody say it straight. Say it straight.
I'm not sure if I can say it straight. But
say it straight.
It would be nice to see... you get named...
Almost.
As a
give yourself a moment.
Okay. It would be nice to see you be named Country Music Association's Radio Personality of the Year.
That would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
but not even a top 40 or talk show host personality. It's just for some reason, just get into the CMAs. It's almost like we go out of our way not to win awards. You know, if we make this too slick, we're going to win something. Oh, that's all right. I can f*** this up. Well, today's almost been award-winning. That's all right. I can f*** up.
Mm-hmm. Now, don't worry about it. He'll find a way to, you know, something will not work quite right, and he's going to get at it with a knife and a pair of scissors.
Man, I'm watching the votes, and they're just adding up. That's all right. I got this taken care of. What are you going to do? I'm going to have a James Brown Boo Boo Kitty dance party. What? And then, we're in the clear.
Mm-hmm.
No awards for at least another year.
But the thing is with country is, remember, they have like their quarterly awards. So even if you dodge the bullet that is the CMAs, you still run the risk of being named Country Radio Disc Jockey of the Year by the ACMs.
I would rather be named Personality of the Year by the ATMs. Man, he did that on the air. Straight from the ass. We'll be back.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
435, another check on traffic. Alfie Coy is in KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Subway. Let's get started off at Fort Worth westbound I-30. Just before Las Vegas Trail, got an accident there blocking the right lane. Traffic goes back from Bryant Urban. In Dallas, northbound I-35, right at Woodall Rogers, got an accident there blocking the left shoulder. Traffic slow through that area. And in Plano, a side street accident for you. Westbound Plano Parkway between Independence and Coy. That part of the road has been completely shut down due to a crash investigation. Plano PD says they're probably going to be out there until about 6:30. You can try and take Park to get around there. In memory of Terry Dorsey, KSCS would like you to donate to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund. The Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund serves to honor and preserve the legacy of service of America's Vietnam veterans. To donate today, visit vvmf.org. That's vvmf.org. I'm Alfie Coy, the Eagles, Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by State Farm. Cloudy tonight with light rain and a low of 47. Tomorrow, cloudy, high of 65. Right now, 50. 97.1 the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
What? Just thinking about James Brown being on stage and just kind of getting taken back and asking for citrus.
I'm sure everybody's seen that. Him in concert, he drops to his knees. Some guy comes out, covers him with a cape. And then takes a couple of seconds, jumps up, throws the cape off, like, get this off of me.
Bring me some citrus. I need some tangerines, tangelos, something like that. I need a Fresca. Sun-kissed kiwi cola, squirt in my mouth. Bring me some fruit with acid in it.
Okay.
People ask for water, but
what you need, James?
I need some citrus.
I bet it's banana.
That ain't got no acid in it.
Mm-mm. Kiwi? Is that citrus?
Mm-hmm. Oh. No? Alfie, it's not?
I don't think kiwi citrus.
Get that kiwi out of my face! I said citrus!
What about cantaloupe?
Hey, citrus ain't got no acid in it! Okay. I need fruit with acid in it!
He's looking for stuff that burns.
Yeah, keep me up! I need acid reflux!
You want to start news? You got any audio?
Yeah. Yeah. Guy on Twitter apparently is at the grocery store. Took a photo of his purchase, cranberry juice, lime, lemon, and the big thing of OJ with the caption, I need some citrus.
That's what keep me going. Uh-huh. I'm Jay Brown. I need citrus. Anytime citrus for food. Anything give me acid reflux I eat, keep me up on stage.
Um. I'm still trying to get in the mode for the Terry Dorsey eulogy.
I understand.
Well, I will.
Can I ask you about something completely unrelated and sort of not in any sort of groove mode?
We ain't got no groove mode around here.
Fair enough.
I see a bowl of citrus. I ain't got no groove.
Gotcha. I know Chloe did because there's a hint. But you, Russ, did you go get your allergy shots on Saturday?
Yeah, Chloe and I went Saturday. Good. It wasn't completely 6 hours, but it was a while. Chloe had more shots because, according to Dr. Feldman, Chloe was allergic to life.
Yes.
Really?
If it exists somehow.
If he can get up his nose.
Mm-hmm.
Only thing he ain't allergic to?
Huh?
Say.
What?
Citrus. His cocktail had, I think 15 different elements to it.
Whoa.
Yeah, I had three. Every time you went up to take a shot, because you had to wait 30 minutes.
I got one shot every time.
Okay.
Go up. I got one shot because my cocktail was lean.
Mm-hmm.
Then they gave you a little timer. You go back, sit in the lobby, and when the timer goes off after 30 minutes, you go get your next shot.
Mm-hmm.
Chloe, every time he went up, he had to get three shots.
Ooh.
Three shots, two arms. Damn.
And Sunday, my arms, it felt like I had done a bunch of curls or something like that.
Okay, so just
they felt sore. It wasn't sore, but it's the same feeling.
Gotcha.
Chloe, I don't know how he felt after getting jabbed so many times.
It didn't really start hitting until like Sunday morning, and my arm is swollen up. And Dr. Feldman said, as long as I don't have like a big whelp, I'm okay. But I'm beginning to wonder about this.
Have you seen his arm?
No.
Okay, yeah, look at that thing.
Where?
Well, hold up both arms.
Where am I looking?
In his forearms. It probably doesn't help that he's holding them up in the air.
I don't see any whelps.
Not a whelp.
They shot. Oh, they're swollen.
Yes.
Well, I never look at your forearms. Put a couple of boat anchors on there. You'll look fine.
Especially on the right one.
Yeah.
Woo. Well, if you think it's swollen, call Dr. Feldman. He said that's why you have to wait. And after your last shot, you have to wait an entire hour just to make sure. And they check your vitals, and then they give you instructions.
Yeah, but starting on Sunday, it may be something completely not related, but I just feel a little...
I felt fine. In fact, I was planning on coming into work yesterday anyway, and I got the text from Dan that Terry Dorsey had died. Well, I guess I'm going to work now. Yeah, I don't think there are any whelps on my arm.
No, I don't see anything.
They did both arms.
No. No, you're good. Yeah, if I didn't know that you went and got your shots done, I obviously would have no idea. Chloe, on the other hand, with his Popeye arm and his purple bullseye on his shoulder.
Still there?
Yep.
What the hell is that?
Just a bruise.
From what?
The shots.
Well, they didn't shoot you in the same place every time. That's why the chick marks you with a pen.
I don't know. It's not that bad, is it? I
can't see. Yeah.
Oh.
That's like a noogie.
Good one.
I didn't get any of that. I think you should call him. He was adamant about he said it may be nothing. He said, but better to check with me and me tell you it's nothing.
Right.
And also found out the fast track that Chloe and I are on, we can speed up even more.
How so?
Well, you do the 6 hour first session,
mm-hmm,
where they hit you with all the stuff. Then you go in for once a week for like a month, something like that.
Yes. Yeah.
Or 6 weeks, something like that.
Okay.
So your follow-up for the next, we'll say 6 weeks, is once a week. He said, but if you want to, you come in twice a week. Just we have to make sure the shots are 72 hours apart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now you've exponentially sped up your rush process. Which
nice.
Is
nice.
So I can go one day this week, and the next week I can double up.
Perfect.
Yep. Alfie, he ain't gone. I got to shoot guns.
Yeah, he's got some sort of aversion to feeling better.
Even Dr. Feldman goes, what's wrong with him? He's into guns. And unless he's got this problem with needles. You got any needle issues?
I ain't got no needle issues.
So why don't you want to go to the doctor?
I just need to find time, I guess.
You had time. You didn't have to take your CHL course. You can kill people without a CHL.
That's true, you can. It's happened a lot.
People do it all the time. That's, mm-hmm, the way this country rolls.
That and baseball. National pastime.
Oh. somebody got shot in baseball?
At some point, probably.
I don't understand why all the weekends to pick to take your CHL, you have to pick a weekend that Dr. Feldman's available.
I just knew that Frisco Gun Club was offering it that weekend, so I just took it right away.
Well, you know, they offer it more than once.
I know.
And you didn't even qualify yet.
No, I still haven't.
So you still can't get your CHL. You have to qualify before they can send the paperwork into the state.
I know. I've just been...
Well, what is it about the allergy thing that you're putting off? Why?
Nothing.
There's something missing here. Yeah. Do you not have the money?
No, I do. I just...
If you don't, because I told Chloe, said, you know, pay for his deductible, and then I would just take it out of his bonuses.
Mm-hmm.
As if. So if you have the same problem, I'll do the same thing with you.
You ain't got to do that. I appreciate it, though. But I've been walking you guys through this as well. I've been...
But you haven't been doing it for yourself.
I know.
Yeah, you figured it'd be like, I would be all over it. Because you know more than we do. Because you've done all the legwork.
And you feel as bad as we do.
I don't.
Now you've got a doctor's office that, I mean, they're not really coming in on special days for us. I think maybe the first Saturday they did.
Mm-hmm.
But this last Saturday was a normal Saturday where they have people and everybody just sits in the lobby and they go up and they get their shot. Then you go sit back down. And if it weren't for, you know, iPads and iPhones,
oh,
you'd just be staring at each other going, are you done with that women's daily?
Yeah, it's terrible. Back in the Stone Age, you'd be forced to read or talk to each other.
Well, Chloe and I talked to each other, and we came up with ideas for dandos. And
that's a good thing, since the two of you went to, you know, with each other. But Alfie, if he ever goes, he's going to be by himself. He's got the, I don't know what he's going to do.
Yeah, we're not going to sit in there with him. You didn't even get, you haven't even been scratch tested, right?
No, I haven't. But
not even the quick route that Dr. Feldman went with me in the studio.
No, I haven't done that. But I know that my allergies, they can get very bad if it's the right thing, but they're not anywhere near as bad as you guys. You guys have it.
So you don't think you want to be cured?
I do, but I'll get to it eventually.
Let's say you, now that you're on your way to get a CHL and you find the need to use your gun and you go to shoot somebody, but your eyes are watery.
Or you sneeze and shoot yourself in the foot.
And now, you Swiss Cheese Jr.
Oh, man.
Yeah, even Dr. Feldman seemed really frustrated, but sort of.
Yeah.
He seemed surprised and frustrated. Alfie really needs to get in here. Because they take our insurance.
Mm-hmm. And not just that, but especially like Chloe said, he's been the point guy for you and Chloe with the office. And I can see Dr. Feldman kind of being maybe a little insulted. It's like, hey, I'm helping you guys. Let me help me help you.
I can. I have to go take my gun course.
I've talked to Dr. Feldman. In fact, last Wednesday or Thursday when I was getting you guys prepped for Saturday,
mm-hmm.
I was talking to him. I was like, luckily now I know all the steps I got to take whenever I do it.
And that means... What?
Means I'm not, you know, scrambling last
minute. It means I'm not doing it.
When eventually I get around to possibly maybe doing it someday down the line.
In the future.
Yep.
Okay. I can't make you go, but if money's the issue, I will give you the deductible.
And thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate the offer.
Is it you don't want me to give you the money, the deductible, because you know I'm going to hold it over your head?
Yes.
But if I take it out of your bonuses, I share my bonus with you guys.
Yes, you do.
Not a lot of it, but some of it.
We have smaller houses.
It's my bonus money.
No. Take 10,000 square feet. Don't pay for itself.
Yeah, you think the money... damn it, I almost said it. I'll turn the mics off. Shows up once a month to pay my mortgage.
Yeah, it's probably better to go all mics off for that one. Yeah.
Well, that would have been on the video stream.
Yeah.
Okay. Audio or news? In a few minutes.
Yeah. Do you want controversial or you want music?
Let's go controversial. We've had a lot of music the last few days.
All right. Well, cut 11. This is what has been all the rage the past, I'd say, 24 to 48 hours out of the University of Oklahoma. The president of the University of Oklahoma lambasted members of a fraternity on Monday who participated in a racist chant caught on video, calling them disgraceful and their behavior reprehensible, and ordered that their house be vacated by midnight.
Okay, I see it. I don't know why the stuff that you're numbering is coming up weird now.
Mm-hmm. Is it cut 11?
Well, at the top, there's cut 10, then 9, 8, 7, 3, 6, 4, and then a couple of reports, and then I saw the 11 and I lost it.
Oh,
I see it.
Okay.
What are they saying?
There will never be an N-word at SAE, Sigma Alpha Epsilon Fraternity.
And they're doing this in public.
Not super public, but in public.
Are they doing it outside?
They're on a bus.
Okay.
On a bus, looks like they're headed towards a fraternity party. The one guy you can see in the video, because it's someone taking video, sitting in a bus seat. One guy standing up in front of the phone, dressed in a tuxedo, leading their magnificent chant.
Let's chant about this. No way for them to find out.
Pretty much.
So his statement was what?
The president of the university joined students at a pre-dawn rally at the Norman campus just hours after Sigma Alpha Epsilon said an investigation confirmed the contents of the online video. The video shows several people chanting a racial slur and indicating blacks would never be admitted to the frat. Boren said, "These people have acted in a way that's absolutely reprehensible and disgraceful. Real Sooners are not bigots and racists."
I would have just shortened that up. These kids are idiots, and they're out.
That's in essence what he said.
You are now on super secret probation.
Mm-hmm. The National Fraternity released a statement Sunday night saying it was embarrassed by the unacceptable and racist behavior. It also said it would close the local chapter. Boren, that's the university president, later released a statement saying members had until midnight tomorrow to remove their personal belongings from the house. The video appeared to be taken on a charter bus with at least one of the chanting students wearing a tuxedo. And this has been, as far as online, social media, everything,
this is not controversial. It's stupid.
It is?
Stupid's easy to spot.
Yeah.
It's when you've got, pro-life. Pro-choice. There's a gray area. Guns. Second Amendment. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of a gray area. Stupid's just right out there. And I wonder how many years they have denied black people into their, what was the charter?
Sigma Alpha Epsilon at OU.
Mm-hmm. Sigma Alpha Epsilon. Wonder how many years they've been denying black people. And if there are any civil suits that can now come against, if anybody can, they will. Well, you know, I could have gotten into that, but I didn't realize there was that filter.
Well, yeah. And the thing
they
is,
they never let me on the bus, front, back, or anywhere to chant.
The thing about the fraternity system and sorority system is basically, it's like, to me, it already seems kind of racist because it's sort of its own segregation. I mean, occasionally you'll see someone of color in a dominant white fraternity. On the other hand, you'll see like black fraternities, and I don't know if I've ever seen a white guy at, was it like Omega Sci-Fi is a black fraternity?
I think it's cable channel. I had to say.
Yeah.
It was the last.
Yeah, Sci-Fi. Yeah.
Channel.
Mm-hmm. So the groups seem to be kind of segregationist anyway, but when you're leading a damn chant like this, that you just, when everything in fraternities is handed down from the previous group or whatever.
I think they're supposed to be like when you do the, hey, I'm just going off Animal House. I have no idea what these ceremonies are supposed to be like. I'm guessing some of them, the whole ceremony is super secret.
A lot of it is, but
so
this
is something that you promise that you're never going to say, mm-hmm. never going to repeat to anybody outside of the fraternity or sorority. But to do it on a bus where, you know, people got phones and there may be somebody on the bus that may have some black in their history.
Man, I wish there had. It'd been a much better video.
Now, I think what happened is enough. But First of all, I don't get the fraternity sorority thing. Sorority, maybe, because, you know, sometimes chicks get drunk and want a scissor.
Yeah. I'm with you, brother.
I'm trying to come up with a Greek name, and I'm not.
Sigma Trib Chi.
Okay, that's good. But the guys, all the weird stuff that they do. All right, we're going to stick these things in your ass. You know, I'm not a broadcast major. I understand if I'm trying to get a job on the Russ Martin Show.
Yeah.
But I don't understand why we need to put things in my butt.
Mm-hmm.
To show that you're faithful to the fraternity. Can I just sign something and have it notarized?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, you can, but they have to notarize it in your ass.
Mm. Got to notarize it with this notary paddle.
Notary dildo.
It's a machine.
And nobody here has ever been in a fraternity?
Nope. Because, I was having to pay for my way through school. I didn't have time to be in a fraternity. I had a job. I had to work. I had to pay rent. I had to pay for my books. I had lots of friends that were in fraternities. I knew girls that were in sororities. And some of them swore by it. But for the most part, for me, I didn't want to be limited in one group. And I had to pay dues to call some people my brothers. It didn't make any sense to me. And I definitely was not going to do the whole pledge thing where it's like, all right, pledge, lick my shoes or, you know, pick up after or clean up my bedroom. I mean, like, clean up your own damn stuff. Why? Just because I want to be a part of your group doesn't mean I'm going to pick up after your dumb trash. Why don't you learn how to be a man? Pick up after yourself.
It's an excuse to be an a-hole.
It's exactly what it is, and I can't stand that type of thing. Kind of like if I was ever in the military, you don't need to yell at me. You don't need to say, you do this. Just say, actually, Sarge, if you just say, hey, O'Malley, go over there and do that, I'll happily do it. If you yell at me to do it, though, then I'm just not going to want to do it.
Pledge, take that. Eat my shit. All right. I'm sorry. Did you say shoot? Or
shit? Man. Never underestimate the value of vowels.
Enunciation.
For that, too.
And some of them that were a little more benign. It's taking somebody out in the middle of nowhere, dropping them off naked with no credit cards, keys,
right.
Anything, no cell phone. And you got to get your way back. I would guess a lot of fraternities, don't they also have some type of background check to where you can't be in the fraternity if you have a criminal record?
That I couldn't tell you.
So what if you get one in the course of trying to get into the fraternity? Because now you're a sexual offender if you're running around outside naked.
That's a really...
And just to say, well, they took my clothes. Did they take your clothes?
Mm.
Ooh.
Did you really put up a fight? Because if you really... At that point, you're going to have to go against your quote-unquote brothers and say they, in essence, assaulted you and took your clothes.
Now you're not getting in anyway.
Right.
Damn.
So what's a the brotherhood, fraternity, I'd like to be a sorority.
So in case you get drunk and feel like scissoring?
Man, please God, let that duct tape hold. All right, we'll be back.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
5:05. This is KEGL, Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Another check on traffic. Now listen, Albie Coy is in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by the Don Davis Auto Group. Let's start off in Dallas, northbound I-35, right at Saner Avenue. Got an accident blocking the two left lanes. Traffic there is backed up back Overton. Also in Dallas, southbound on the tollway right at Spring Valley, got an accident there blocking the right lane. Traffic's backed up back from the belt line. And finally in Fort Worth, westbound I-30 just before Las Vegas Trail, got an accident blocking the right lane. Traffic there is jacked up back from Bryant Urban. If you see an accident out there, call the Allstate Traffic Tip Line. The phone number is 214-866-8888. I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by State Farm. Tonight will be cloudy with light rain and a low of 47. Tomorrow, still cloudy and a high of 65. Right now, 50 and 97.1 the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Yeah, I really am. I'm surprised that, because we've got three monitors in here on the local TV stations. I haven't seen Dorsey's face pop up once.
I haven't either.
And you would think maybe they would have let, it's like when David, when Craddock died. That was at least top of the newscast every time.
Yeah, and I think maybe had it been announced today, that might have been the case. But
David died over the weekend, over a weekend.
I know, but
I'm surprised unless... I mean, Craddock had higher numbers and it was broader base because it was pop. Mm-hmm. So you had moms, kids, dads who had to listen to Kiss because of their kids, or they wanted to.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I was surprised last night. I think it was Fox 4. It was 13 minutes in before they had mentioned Dorsey.
And it wasn't much of a piece.
Yeah, it was the graphic, the years, and a mention.
There may be a reason I'm missing. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe it just depends on the station. I know Channel 5 had a pretty good intro of it I watched earlier today where they had a big graphic up on a large TV screen. I forgot who the reporter was or the anchor introducing it. And I would imagine Channel 8 probably did something pretty remarkable just because of the relationship he had.
Cynthia Isagina.
As well as Alexa Konomos goes on the show, I think, still.
Yeah, in the wide shot, it's like a fisheye lens picture of Dorsey on his retirement day, so you could see everybody in the room with Dorsey in the middle. I saw Jerry Reynolds right behind Dorsey along with Alexa Konomos and other people I didn't recognize. I recognized Jerry because he was really close to Dorsey in proximity, and Jerry's not really a...
Be nice. Stop it. say something else.
Try.
Come on. This is a good learning moment.
Jerry's presence is not innocuous.
I'll take it. I'll take it.
Yeah. That even makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because that's a motherfucker.
See, really? No.
I don't know why I leaked out that. I got excited.
It's so PC.
His presence is not innocuous. His weight is omnipotent.
You just can't leave well enough alone.
He loves me.
Sometimes you gotta wonder why.
I certainly do every day. Okay, do you want me to take any of those, Alfie?
Those are a couple of Greek people or Greek life people calling in to defend fraternities and sororities.
Okay. So they're not Greek.
No.
All right. Yes, Kimberly.
Hey, I just wanted to call with a different perspective on racism in fraternities and sororities.
Mm-hmm.
I actually went to the school just a couple hours up the road from OU and graduated about 10 years ago. But when it comes to people from different races, I guess other than predominantly white or predominantly black, depending on which organization group. I don't think it's really a matter of the group not choosing to invite people of different races or ethnicities to join.
Hold on just a second.
Yeah.
Channel 5's running a piece on Terry.
Spent 26 of his 46 years in broadcasting at KSCS in Dallas. Dorsey's funeral will be here in North Texas. He was 66 years old.
So they're going to bring him back.
Yeah, I guess so.
I thought he was born in Illinois.
I don't know.
Okay. I'm sorry, Kimberly, go ahead.
No, you're fine. I just wanted to say that I don't think it's really a matter of the groups not choosing people from other races or ethnicities to join. It's that there generally aren't a lot of people from different backgrounds that choose to go through the process.
But... would you think that there would be some racism if you're chanting on a bus? There will be no N-words our fraternity?
Yeah, totally. But at least from, I think it might be different from male, female, different organizations, different backgrounds. That's totally unacceptable.
And then also, Kimberly, it's not just the fraternity or sorority selecting a pledge. The pledge also has to write down his or her top choices, and then they meet up.
Yeah, totally. I'm thinking back to at least my experience, which was I mean, 13, 14 years ago, walking through the houses, or I guess being on the other side where recruits are coming in, you would maybe see one or two girls of, I don't know how to put this politely, but a different skin color. Or
you could say a couple
background.
Of black girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, well, even Asian
well,
girls
what do you, what
or
did you guys,
other backgrounds.
What did you guys do in your fraternity or sorority on the weekends?
On mine?
Yeah.
A lot of girls went home that were younger since, you know, Oklahoma State is pretty close to
what'd you
Oklahoma
do at night?
City and Tulsa.
Did you do trip? You do trip
you know,
night?
We'd party. We'd go out to
did you
know,
do scissors? Did you rope clams?
Yeah, no.
Did
yes,
you ever?
You did.
Did you ever trip at Eskimo Joe's?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Okay, it's like talking to Kenzie. Yeah, I tripped all the time. Wait.
Yeah. see, that's the problem. Everything's cool at Eskimo Joe's.
Yeah, exactly.
It's okay at Joe's.
I got a T-shirt.
Uh-huh. I'm tripping Eskimo Joe's. Happy trip. Happy trip hour. We got free drinks if we rub these together. Oh, I wonder if the hazing is as intensive for sororities as it is for...
Yes. Well, let me...
Finish.
Yeah, it's depending on the sorority, but it can be just as bad. And in some cases, I've read horrific things about sororities. Sororities can be worse than fraternities. It just depends on
is it
who's
you got
one of them.
You got extra hoe?
Like, trying to remember, there was a journalist, went undercover as a sorority girl, went through the whole process and everything, and there were, they would have the girls stripped down, and the older people in the sorority, the seniors, whatever, would tell the pledges, here's what's wrong with your body, naked in front of everyone. Here's what's wrong with your body. Here's what you need to change. Call them different names. And that's some of the more mild stuff.
That's kind of hot, though.
Then they've also heard the stories.
Because you know that they're not going to, first of all, if they're that, what's the word? Bitch-ish, looks-oriented. What's the word?
Mean dog?
Looks, aesthetic. If you're not aesthetically appealing or pleasing, you're not getting in anyway.
And that is
so
also happens.
So if they weren't getting in, they wouldn't let anybody pass the first process. So most of the chicks had to be hot to run around naked, and that makes me hard.
Mm-hmm. Then sometimes as part of the pledge process.
I bet if you just Googled dorm parties and turned off the filter, you get some good to look at, Jack.
I bet you would, yes. I've also heard that with sororities, they would send a girl or girls over to a fraternity house that they might be tightly associated to service a particular floor.
How come nobody told me about this at Eastfield?
Well, I don't know if Eastfield has a Greek life.
Well, they sent some of the girls over from the sorority to services. Yeah. That one's yours. Can she not stand up?
She can if she concentrates.
She looks real comfortable on fours. Ben, you want this one? line two is what?
He is part of the IFC, Interfraternity Council at UNT.
Okay. Is that what we're talking about? We're
no.
talking about Oklahoma.
OU, yes.
Yes, Connor.
Hey, Russ. How are you doing?
I'm Italian.
I just wanted to shed some light that like not all fraternities are racist. I was listening to the show, though. I mean, you're talking about sororities, and I know some sororities can be a lot more vicious. I've heard stories of sorority women being sent over to fraternity houses during recruitment. That's why, personally, at my school, sorority women aren't allowed at fraternity houses during recruitment, but it's to help encourage the pledges to rush that fraternity by being serviced by the fraternity's women.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is you hear a lot more about the crazy scandals and sex stories that happen out there.
We're not talking about really the sex stories. We're talking about people chanting on the bus. We'll have no Negroes in our fraternity.
Yeah.
Well, fraternities nationally are definitely not racist, but it's the members that are involved that definitely give the image, the bad image. And those are the stories that make the news. And that's what people hear about and what really remember. But that's really not what it's all about.
Yeah, you're right. It's not going to make the news if somebody's chanting on the bus. all colors invited to our fraternity.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to not that particular section.
Yeah.
No, no, definitely for sure. But like in rock and roll.
Boring. I get the camaraderie with these groups. I just don't get the hazing. Well, how badly do you want to be in the group? Well, you guys seem cool. I'd like to hang out with the cool kids. Well, you're going to have to do something. Well, what you want me to do is not cool.
There seems to be with certain groups, whether it's a fraternity or, I don't know, maybe going through boot camp in the military, there's some type of breaking down of the individual to become part of a group. You know, sort of like you can still be an individual, but everything's for the greater good of this group, this unit, this house.
But how is beating me with a paddle and asking for more? Again, I'm just going off Animal House because that's all I know.
But
how does that better the group? To me, that just seems like we're letting a lot of idiots in.
With a lot of homoerotic stuff going on. Yeah, I'm with you. That's part. It's stories I heard throughout from people that have gone through the process or watching movies.
You're my boy, Blue.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, you know what? This is really not something for me. Good for you if that's what you want to do, but no.
I don't want any club that badly.
No.
I didn't like whippings when I was a kid. What would make you think I would want one now?
Absolutely.
From somebody almost as strong as my mother.
Damn straight. It's like, you know, if you grew up with my mother, you would not be running so quickly into the paddle room.
All right, so let me make sure I understand all this right. I got to take all my clothes off and walk into that room where there are a bunch of candles lit and guys in robes wearing goat skulls.
Yeah.
And paddles.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to do what to me? No. I'm going to go join the VFW.
And I can smoke there.
That's the biggest thing. Even if you're not a veteran of foreign wars, they'll let you in if you smoke.
That's right. Maybe it's pretty much.
You praise your allegiance to bingo and smoke.
Mm-hmm.
They'll let you in.
Yeah, just they'll slap a veteran hat on you. Come inside where you can flick your ash on a steak.
I joined the Shriners. At least they carpool. Okay. I'm done with the what is it, Alfie?
Chris Spinks from Billy Bob's Texas is on the hotline for you.
Who is he?
He's their PR guy.
Does this have something to do with the White Trash Party?
No, nothing to do with the White Trash Party, but he's, I guess, has some news he wants to tell you. I'll let him do it.
Chris, what?
Spinks.
Okay. Hi, Christopher.
Russ.
What do you got, boss?
How are you, sir?
I'm fine.
Good. I'm calling. I've got some exciting news, and I was hoping I could break that news with you guys here. Is that okay?
Is Pam Minnick still work there?
No, she retired. It's been about a year and a half or so that I've been in her position.
Oh, okay. Billy Bob Minnick still on?
Yep. I mean, they're still around. They still part owners, and I see Pam all the time, so they're still around there.
She was too young to retire. But go ahead. What's your – I'm fine, only because I know Pam and the Minnicks.
Mm-hmm.
What's your announcement?
We – this year we are going to be doing a two-day 4th of July festival, July 3rd and July 4th at Billy Bob's, and headlining on Friday, July 3rd, will be Merle Haggard himself.
Shut up. Oh my God.
Woo.
Are you jacking with me?
No, I'm not jacking with you.
I believe that Merle is coming to Billy Bob's, but you want to make the announcement that Merle Haggard's going to be at Billy Bob's July 4th weekend. I think that's what you said. On a rock station.
Crazier things have happened.
I don't know.
Well, you guys, you've been talking about him a bunch. Apparently, you've been listening to some Merle. You've been playing him. I hear you guys talking about him all the time. So what? I figured out what better place in the world to announce Billy Bob's 4th of July picnic than 97-1 the Eagles.
in your entire career, did you ever fathom yourself uttering those words?
No.
Talking about Merle's big concert in Dallas-Fort Worth, announcing it on the Eagle,
mm-hmm.
while it's still in the rock format.
Yep. Yeah, I'm pretty sure our program director is pulling out his hair.
Yeah, because he's tried before. Hey, Motley Crue's going to play at AAC this Saturday or whatever. You and I have the promoter on. No. But you had the promoter for Billy Bob's Texas on to promote.
I figure this is our first step to get you nominated for ACM Radio Jock of the Year.
Yeah. You're a dick.
Yeah, that a boy, Chris.
What did you say? It's July. What are the? I'm excited. Everybody, calm down. What are the dates again?
Friday, July 3rd will be Merle Haggard. That'll be day one of the festival with Merle Haggard headlining. Tickets will go on sale this Friday.
So they're not even on sale at this point.
No, I just announced it on your radio show.
I thought you were dicking with me.
Oh, it's there. You can go find it. It's on the web now, and you can go on the social media channels. It's out there now.
What is the website? Is it just BillyBobs.com or BillyBobsTexas.com?
BillyBobsTexas.com.
Okay. What time does Merle normally go on?
I think it'll be a 9 o'clock start for Merle that night.
How long does Merle normally play?
About an hour and a half.
Okay. So that's a perfect time. You know, mm-hmm. these concerts that go 2-3 hours, it's like, I've had enough. You don't have enough hits. Merle's got the hits. Whether you like
he could go for 2.5 hours if he wanted.
Do you know if in his set list he does Big Wheels Rolling Moving On?
His set list is up to him, but we can try and find out.
All right.
What are you trying to pull?
I'm just asking. That's how. I don't have time to explain the story to you, but I appreciate the announcement, and
yeah, you guys should come out. You guys, we'll set the whole show up. We'll get you guys some tickets. We'd love to have you out there.
See what you did to me? All right. Did you want to ask me anything, Dan?
No, I'm just, you know, honestly, I'm really excited for you.
No, we're all going.
I'm going to be there because I want to be there, one, just because I would love to see Merle in concert at no other place than Billy Bob's, but also because I want to see your face because you're going to look like a kid in a candy store.
If he does the Moving On theme.
That's the next step.
Okay. I don't think we want to go backstage only because I'm sure Merle backstage doesn't smell like weed. It probably smells like people testing for weed. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Smells like piss back here. All right. Thank you for the call, boss.
Thanks for us.
All right.
All right.
All right. Kenzie's is going to fall out.
Oh, for
God. Oh, no.
Hey, Kenzie, Merle's playing at Billy Bob's July 4th. Yep. Looks exactly what I thought it would. Some big scab out of Star Trek. Was that really, was he for real? I mean, he had the hotline, so obviously he's had the contact number for a while.
Yes. He's been a friend of the show, or he's listened to the show for a while. I've been in contact with him trying to get people on before.
I wonder if that means we can get Merle on the show.
I already put that in his ear.
What'd you say?
I said, hey.
Not a hey. It's listen.
Mm-hmm. Bring us Merle.
You bring me the Merle. There are two things you're going to bring me. Merle and citrus.
Oh, yes.
They make the announcement on a rock station.
Yeah, here's the flyer. Billy Bob's Texas, 4th of July picnic, Friday, July 3rd, Saturday, July 4th. Merle Haggard. With a photo of Merle looking really, well, kind of interested.
Merle.
Yeah, it's Merle being Merle.
You excited, Merle? I will sing there. All right, we got a break. We'll be back.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
5:34, another check on traffic. Alfie Coy is in KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by H&R Block. Hold on, going on.
Dallas. Get started off in Dallas. Northbound I-35 right at Center Avenue. Got an accident there blocking the two left lanes. An 18-wheeler cab is hanging off the side of the overpass there. Traffic there is backed up back from Overton. Center Avenue also shut down in both directions. Also in Dallas, southbound on the tollway right at Spring Valley, got an accident blocking the right lane. Traffic's backed up back from Arapahoe. And Irving, westbound 114 right at Beltline, got an accident there in the clearing stages. Traffic is backed up back from Walnut Hill. And finally in Fort Worth, westbound I-30 just before Las Vegas Trail, got an accident blocking the right lane. Traffic's backed up back from Hewlin Street. In memory of Terry Dorsey, KSCS would like you to donate to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund. The Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund serves to honor and preserve the legacy of service of America's Vietnam veterans. To donate today, visit vvmf.org. That's vvmf.org. I'm Alfie Coy and the Eagles, Black Thunder.
From the Staples Weather Center, brought to you by Taco Bell. Tonight, cloudy with light rain and a low of 47. Tomorrow, cloudy and a high of 65. Right now, 50 at 97.1 The Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Big wheels rolling, big wheels rolling, moving on. Big wheels rolling, gotta keep them going. Big wheels rolling, moving on.
Are you rehearsing?
Because men become addicted to the grind. It takes a special breed to be a truck driving man. To set a hand to hold that load be high.
Okay, this sounds like a bit that we had planned back in December. Hey, let's do this. Russ will get on drunk during Best Of, sing Merle live.
Uh-huh.
Build it up all the way to what is this, March. Mm-hmm. To March, promoting Merle's appearance at Billy Bob's in July. It sounds like a great big conspiracy. And then you've got the PR, the head PR guy, Pam Minnick, used to hold that job. She was married to Billy Bob Minnick at Billy Bob's Texas.
Mm.
So Chris, was it Spinks?
Spinks, yeah.
Okay. Want to make the big announcement on the Eagle? Maybe he was supposed to make it on KSCS, and J.R. Schumann, who's the operations manager, said, I think he should really make it on Russ's show. We've been nice to JR and KSCS.
Yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely. Always have been. Love him.
And that doesn't sound like something out of JR's realm.
No. But I still think that he would, even then, I think he would still prefer that announcement coming on one of his stations, not on the rock station in town.
But doesn't KSCS and The Wolf, don't they play a lot of, you know, new country like Miranda and Luke Bryan and all?
Nobody does any classic?
There are a couple, but.
There's a few, but they're the smaller stations.
And yeah. Merle doesn't have anything new?
Not that I'm aware of. That doesn't mean that they never play, because I think at least one of the two stations, Wolf or KSCS, will occasionally play some older country.
I just, this show, I wish, but I don't. Control.
Yeah.
I thought, but I don't.
Nope.
There are days.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on, Hawkeye's on Fox 4.
Sure. Like, Terry, we're not going to do that. We're going to have a show and let people call in and be part of the show. That just illustrates just how unassuming Terry was.
But he was a great one. Dorsey's a member of the Country Music Disc Jockey Hall of Fame. His funeral arrangements still have not been finalized. We'll let you know.
Channel 4 on the graphic, they got the year wrong.
What did they have?
47.
Ooh, they suck. What did you have?
Originally I had 49.
Was that right?
I was going by what Hawkeye told me on Sunday.
Ooh, you suck.
I didn't have to do anything. Terry Dorsey was part of the news. I worked for another company, another station. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to say anything.
No, you didn't.
But there are things that I learned. I learned a lot, mostly what I know now. I'm sure it makes Ron Chapman regurge. for me to say most of what I know I learned from listening to him. Well, but there are things I learned from listening to Terry Dorsey.
And that's, yeah, it's Chapman's fault for putting it out there for people to pay attention to and learn from.
I mean, if you work in a market and you're working in smaller markets around Dallas-Fort Worth, obviously your goal is to get back to the major market. I never thought, well, I'll just call it KBIL and I'll start there. Mm-hmm. Like we have people email us on a regular basis.
Yes.
What I need to do, get on the show. My friends say I'm funny and they say I got a good voice.
We've been waiting for you.
And I'm alcoholic. Okay, one's going to get you in.
Yeah.
But the rest of them.
Finally, that fifth person we've been just dying for. You finally emailed us. You're perfect. You have absolutely zero experience.
Yeah. And they always seem stunned when you go, all right, how much experience do you have? Well, I talk all the time.
I don't need experience to talk on radio.
What I need experience for?
Yeah.
All you guys do is just sit up there and shoot the shit. We do that all the time at the VFW. By the way, they let you smoke in that building?
Mm-mm. Sorry. I think they just put out a new thing that says you can't even smoke within 25 feet of the building.
Yeah, I can't work there. You know any radio stations they let you smoke?
Back in the day, KVIL. Woo, man. Salad days.
Why, they let you smoke there?
They just did.
Oh.
I think it was because the program director or the assistant program director at the time did.
You think they let you smoke over at CBS hoping the place will burn down and they can claim the insurance money from all the listeners they lost?
No, I think it's still an ordinance yet you can't smoke.
What if I started my own radio station and called it KVFW? You think they let me smoke there?
You probably could. In your house.
Bingo in the morning.
Swap shop on the weekends?
Man, that's where you get the really. That's where you. I'm pausing because I'm going to hit the delay.
You okay?
Really? That swap shop.
That's right.
Trader's Village or First Monday, whatever, Craigslist. Ain't nothing good on there. It's swap shop on the radio. That's where you get your good dealing going on.
Mm-hmm. That's where you trade a couple of puppies for some new rims.
I got a piece of ass for a couple of puppies.
That's a good deal.
It was. She claimed she had the paperwork. I proved that the puppies were AKC and that she was STD free.
All the initials matched up.
It was the best weekend of my life.
Damn shame about them puppies, though.
Yeah, I hope they're all right. Her being Vietnamese and all.
Too far? Too much?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Too soon? Okay. News?
We can. All right. We also have other audio.
Well, then let's get to it.
Okay. Cut six. There's a child in Illinois named Brody Kriz. He turns 13 this month, and the video invite for his bar mitzvah was all over Facebook this weekend. He decided to sing his invitation to the tune of Happy by Pharrell.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. The countdown's begun to my mitzvah day. Trying to study hard, but my head's up in space. Hands in the air, like I don't care, just wanna partay. Because I'm Jewish. Clap along if you feel like Old Testament is the truth. Because I'm Jewish. Clap along if you're 13, that means you're no longer a youth. Because I'm Jewish. Clap along if you just tried Manischewitz and it tastes like juice. Because I'm Jewish. Clap along if you're my maid, you wear a really expensive suit.
I'm going to hope the video added to the fact this went viral.
I think so. What he did was, this was just one song that he did. He did a number of other pop songs for basically inviting everyone to, you know, come to his bar mitzvah. But, I mean, here we are, 21st century. You can't just have a standard Evite anymore. It's got to be a viral video hit.
Yeah, and like he did layering in that, too. It wasn't him just singing.
Yeah.
Or was it somebody else?
No, it was like his voice layered over. You could tell there was some work put into it, him not just putting on a track and singing along with it.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's
actually production.
Yeah, that's him in the background saying, I'm Jewish, and singing over himself.
How many hits on YouTube?
Oh, this is all over Facebook, so at this point, it's millions.
So you don't know.
I don't know.
All right.
I'll do one more, and then we can start news. Metallica. Someone decided they would do a mashup. I pulled this because you had mentioned something about a mashup last week. So here is Metallica with Hall & Oates.
All right, I can hear some auto-tuning in there where they shifted Hetfield's pitch to fit the song. Fix that in. Mash that up with something from NWA. See, do it work.
Remember that next time Mandatory Metallica is on.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy who made it calls that song I Can't Enter That. Mash up of Enter Sandman and Hall & Oates' classic I Can't Go For That, No Can Do.
I think the mashup I was talking about was, Sugar or something. Bobby Sugar, the funk something.
Bruno Mars song?
Yeah, I don't know where I got Sugar.
I don't either.
Mars got Sugar in it.
okay.
Which I need sometimes because I can't get my citrus. I said Bruno Mars, Uptown Funk, and James Brown. Living in America.
Yes.
I think those would mash up easily.
Oh, yeah, because they're only like two BPMs apart. I think, I forget which ones, but one's 115 and one's like 113.
You actually went and checked?
Yes.
Did you try and match them up?
Because
you know you can speed one up or slow one down.
No, exactly.
Slow one down, one beat per minute, and speed one up. That way it's not as dramatic.
Yeah, I was playing around with it on one of the apps on the iPad, and yeah, it matches pretty damn close.
I can hear when somebody's yanking from somebody else, and the Uptown Funk sounds like that was yanked from James Brown.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think there's a couple different songs that you could say that with it, but definitely Living in America. And it seems to be that's what music is now anyway. It's you're borrowing so much from other places.
Yeah, because it's that same formula. It's worked before, and people like it. People like that groove.
And a lot of the 50s stuff was just almost everybody was just the same chords. That's why it was easy for me to learn the Jerry Lee Lewis, Elvis, whatever. It's like C to F to G, back to F, back to C. Little Richard, same thing. Short of solos, which I don't do.
Yes, you do.
No, there ain't going to be no solos on my bus.
And to the youngest listeners, all that stuff is brand new to them.
Well, it's just like remakes of movies. There are a lot of movies that I didn't know were remakes. I can't think of one right.
Scarface?
Scarface, I didn't know that was a remake at the until you just now said it.
What is that remade from?
Like a 1923 movie called Scarface.
Okay. Well, see, the difference there is the Scarface we know with Al Pacino, what, that 82, 80-something? Whereas you're talking about 60-year gap from the remake. But now it's less than 20 years on the remake of something.
I'm sure you could go back and take CeeLo Green's FU and mash that up easily with something out of the 60s, because that's just a simple riff. Because that one didn't take me any time to learn. First of all, there's no solos in there. I'm trying to see if I still have it on my flash. Give me a second. Make noise for a minute.
Okay. And then also, like, it's gotten so bad with not just remakes, but reboots of franchises, and they're happening so quickly. The next time they reboot Spider-Man, the current trilogy isn't going to be done yet before they're making the new ones.
Yeah, that wasn't enough time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, coming out next summer, it's Spider-Man 3. But first, it's Spider-Man 1 again.
I like the reboot of Spider-Man. I like the kid that's playing it now.
Yeah.
The Toby Keith or whatever his name is.
Toby Maguire.
Andrew Garfield.
The cat?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It was Andrew Garfield.
He's the guy who's playing Spider-Man now.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to Toby Keith?
Toby Keith never played Spider-Man.
He would never fit in that suit.
All right. I got nothing.
although Spider-Man slinging webs through Manhattan wearing a cowboy hat and carrying a red Solo cup would be pretty funny.
What are you doing?
I'm drunk. And I take out a red Solo cup and I shoot stuff. And all of it, web.
I'm a drunk Spider-Man.
Drunk Spider-Man.
I can't find the clip, but you know the CeeLo Green song.
Yes. Send one if you want it.
Oh, okay. I bet you could mix this, mash this with a song from The Supremes, The Temptations, The Four Tops.
See you driving around town with the girl I love, and I'm like, forget you. I just the change in my pocket wasn't enough.
And I think this is a simple.
Forget you and forget
it's a C, C, F, G. And it goes to some weird chord here that I don't play if I forget. Okay. Let's go ahead and start news before we get into another James Brown Boo Kitty dance party. 5:52, Dan O'Malley's here with news.
Thank you, Russ. Today is Monday, March 9th, 2015. Birthdays today. Bow Wow is 28.
Shanana?
No, this is a formerly Little Bow Wow.
Oh.
Emmanuel Lewis has made it to the age of 44, best known as Webster. Brian Bosworth, former OU standout on an interesting day, turns 50.
There's a really good documentary on him on Netflix.
Yeah. It's on.
Have you seen it?
I haven't seen all of it. I've seen clips of it. It's part of their.
I think he's a realtor now. Or something like that. We're talking about Boz.
Yeah, the Boz. Yeah, it's part of ESPN's 30 for 30 documentary series.
I'm talking about something on Netflix.
That's what it is.
Okay.
And, it talks about his time at OU and how he became bigger than the program, became this bigger-than-life personality. And
He pushes it or plays it off like they kind of pushed him into this mm-hmm. superstar aspect that he didn't really want.
Yeah, I think they had said that Coach Switzer at some point said, this seems to be your team, you need to lead the team, and so he just sort of stepped out of his normal self and created this character known as the Boz, and that's what everyone sort of rallied around.
And then the whole thing backfired, and he's selling houses in Oklahoma.
He's also making movies and stuff.
Well, good for him.
Mm-hmm. Cato Kaelin, who lived behind OJ at one point, is 56. Linda Fiorentino, 57. Jeffrey Osborne turned 67. Remember him?
Hang on, the group was...
Ooh, that I don't know.
Now, Jeffrey Osborne was with Alpie.
Yo. I got it if you want.
Yes.
LTD.
Thank you. Back in Love Again.
He also sang Stay With Me Tonight and On the Wings of Love.
Couldn't care about that. It's Back in Love Again. Mm-hmm. Every time I turn around.
Former host of Good Morning America, Charles Gibson, is 72. From Paul Revere and the Raiders, Mark Lindsay is 73. And... because we've gone country, Mickey Gilly is 79 today.
Well, now there's going to be a fight between Gillies and Billy Bobs. And who's going to have us out? I see Merle.
Right now, Billy Bobs is winning because they got the Merle.
Yeah, I don't see Gillies having Merle.
No.
That's too bad.
If they do, though.
We got to go with Billy Bob's. Billy Bob's called us first.
Mm-hmm.
We have to make this world tour announcement. Okay. Did you want the number to KSES?
Perhaps the wolf.
Now we want to do it here. Okay. Good.
All right. State legislators on Tuesday will look at a bill that would end daylight saving time in Texas. State Representative Dan Flynn of District 2 in North Texas co-authored the bill. Supporters argue the practice does not save energy and actually costs businesses money. If the bill passes, it would take effect September 1st of this year.
It does nothing but create grief.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, one part of the year you're excited about it. The other part is
dread.
Yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, okay. We're only 2 months away from moving the clocks again. No.
Especially since the last time they adjusted it, maybe a couple of 3 years ago, whatever, they adjusted it to shorten the period. So, like, it used to be sometime in October when you would fall back, and then it wasn't until, like, April that you would spring ahead.
Yeah. In fact, I almost missed the time change this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I heard it on the radio driving home after all the allergy shots. Flo and I had Saturday.
Yeah.
I had no clue.
Because now it's November and March.
If it wasn't for my iPhone, I wouldn't have known the time changed.
Mm-mm.
So if they keep shortening it, it's not like the days are changing. So why adjust the schedule? Just bail on it.
I think at this point, it's just, I don't know if it's something rooted in some sort of tradition or for whatever reason. There's got to be some lobby somewhere that doesn't want it. Otherwise, lawmakers would see no reason not to repeal it.
If your biological clock changes within a few days, you know, as you get into the winter, you get into the spring, whatever, the sun's up longer, it's not up as long, goes down faster, whatever. Your body gets adjusted to it in a few days.
Yeah.
So why change the physical clock when your biological clock is going to change on its own? Who cares? Plus, I'm not getting up at 3 o'clock when it used to be 4 o'clock.
And especially that first weekend, it just, God, it kills you. You just think, no, I'm going to lose an hour of sleep and nothing but stress and everything that comes with it.
Well, but we put it on Sunday morning, so you don't really notice.
I notice.
I mean, you might have to be at church a little earlier. Yeah. That ain't going to damn happen.
But there are actually 4 ways daylight savings can affect your health. One's
got to be the anxiety.
You're more likely to have a heart attack.
Okay.
A study in Michigan last year found that between 2010 and 13, there were 25% more heart attacks on the first Monday after daylight savings, which is, yeah. And a study in Sweden found you're more likely to have a heart attack for the first 3 days after daylight savings starts. Number two.
But not all parts of the country. Central, whatever's to the left of us.
Mountain and Pacific.
Yeah, mountain doesn't change, does it?
Yeah, it does.
The only part of mountain that doesn't, I believe, is Arizona.
Okay. Why? How do they? What'd they do?
They are doing, or sorry, they did what Texas is trying to do, is pass state legislation saying, hey, F you.
And there's some counties in the Midwest, or maybe I'll say like Indiana or Illinois. There's other places around the country that don't go by daylight saving time either.
Well, if one state can get away with it,
mm-hmm.
Why do we still tolerate it?
Well, get the bill on the floor now the way we wouldn't have to. Although I will say if it does pass, it says it will take effect September 1st, which I guess means we wouldn't fall back in November. We just stay on the clock.
So we don't get the hour back?
I know. See?
Oh, no. F*** that.
Yeah.
Oh, now, man. Now wait till the next session?
Exactly.
Yeah. Get that hour back and keep it forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because right now I feel like we're losing an hour.
We put it up. It's time to have a daylight withdrawal.
We
just keep tacking on hours every couple of years.
Yeah. Write your representative and say we want our hour back. Yeah. And instead of it taking effect September 1st, have it take effect December 1st. Whatever.
Just get the hour back, mm-hmm. And then all the hours you took over those past years, give me back every 6-7 months. To where I ain't got to show up to work till like 7 at night.
And then you leave 5 minutes later. Whew, man. Sorry,
gotta go home, sundown. We need to break?
Yes.
All right, we'll be back.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
6:05, this is KEGL Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Another check on traffic. Al Picoyes of the Eagles, Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Taco Bell. All that going on right now, starting off in Dallas, up on I-35 just before Laureland. Got an accident there in the clearing stages. Traffic's backed up back to Overton. Also in Dallas, north on I-35, right at Saner, got an 18-wheeler hanging off the side of the overpass there. It's hanging over Saner Avenue right now. As a result, Saner Avenue is shut down in both directions, and traffic on 35 is backed up back from Overton. Still in Dallas, southbound on the tollway just after Harvest Hill, got a stalled vehicle blocking the right lane. Traffic there is backed up back from Keller Springs. In Fort Worth, westbound Loop 820, right at 35W, got an accident blocking the right lane. Traffic's backed up back from Haltom Road. And finally in Fort Worth, westbound I-30 just before Las Vegas Trail, got an accident there in the clearing stages. Traffic is backed up back from Hewlin Street. Listen to Cindy Skull tomorrow morning at 7:25 for a shot to win a pair of tickets to go see 3 Days Grace on April 23rd at the Bomb Factory. Details are online at KEGL.com. I'm Alfie Coy, the Eagles, Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Grasshopper. Tonight, cloudy and a little bit of rain with a low of 47. Tomorrow, more clouds, a chance of more rain with a high of 65. Right now, it is 50. At 97.1, the Eagle.
Attention all criminals, hoodlums, and scofflaws. Have you been looking for the dando perfect for the delinquent in you? After months of tedious litigation, Pretty Little Dan Inc. is proud to reveal Grand Theft Dando. Besides being a top-of-the-line pleasuring device, it also doubles as the premier criminal assistance apparatus. The Grand Theft Dando includes these stealth accessories: a slim gem, precision diamond-tipped glass cutter, a set of lockpicks, a Romulan cloaking shield, a hydraulic grappling hook with high tensile climbing rope, masterfully hand-woven from Dan's titanium strength-ass hair. You're probably asking yourself, where the f*** is the pleasure? Well, here's the best part. The Grand Theft Dando conveniently collapses into a colon-filling capsule. With its special sphincter-seeking technology, every item of the Grand Theft Dando knows where to go and what to penetrate. Order today and receive a free KERA tote bag. So when you're done, if you don't explode into a gooey, satisfied pile of blood and organ pieces, you'll have a place to stash your Grand Theft Dando as well. Order now. Another fine product from PLD Inc.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
All right, go ahead, Daniel.
A few other ways that daylight savings can affect your health, in addition to you're more likely to have a heart attack. Work-related injuries are more common. According to a 2009 study in the Journal of Applied Psychology, you're more likely to get hurt at work today, and it's also more likely to be a serious one. Also, suicide rates go up. In 2008, there was a study that looked at 30 years of data and found that suicide rates for men increase for the first few weeks after daylight savings. So you assume it's true for women.
All because of the loss of 1 hour of sleep.
Some of these just could be coincidental.
You had a day sort of to prepare for it.
I know. It seems like a big leap to go from, oh, I lost 1 hour of sleep, to killing myself. So,
but somehow they made the link.
They did it. Here it is. Right there.
I get enough sleep. What'd you do? I hang myself.
Mm-hmm. You also may get fat. They say you'll probably eat more. Maybe not if you went to bed earlier than usual, but a recent study found that when people got an hour less of sleep, they ate an average of 200 more calories the next day.
200 calories the next day is not going to be, unless it was just all saturated fat.
Yeah, it's not really going to. It's not going to kill you.
So the whole study sounded like a stretch.
Mm-hmm.
People got less sleep. What do? They killed themselves and they got fat.
They ate too much and hanged themselves. Probably because they felt guilty about it.
A lot of it was, I guess, most of it's anxiety-based.
Yeah.
Well, I got to get up earlier. I'm surprised companies haven't looked into the research of, all right, on daylight saving. Well, regardless of which way we're going. Maybe tell them, all right, if you're losing an hour, show up to work an hour late.
Mm-hmm.
Stay an hour late. That way everything's kind of the same, and then we'll gradually kind of shift it over 15 minutes over the next few days. So you get back into the groove. You don't need extra citrus.
Then again, doing that, it depends on what your job is and whether or not you can be flexible to shift by an hour.
Well, if you work at a bank, obviously you can't. Or a government office.
Right.
They do nothing. They can show up at noon. Nobody would notice.
Mm-hmm.
But private companies, if first of all, just let Texas move forward and see if we can abolish it, at least for this state.
I'd be fine with it. I'm I don't understand any sort of benefit.
Well, I understand why you want all the states to be in some type of time synchronicity. So like FedEx, okay, we got a shipment coming in to the hub at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
But it's got to be in Dallas by 8 a.m. Well, with the time change, well, they in Dallas ain't getting there until 9 now. So there's got to be some type of...
I think a national commitment.
Just don't change anything. Make it one time. Who cares? And every so often, they have to readjust the atomic clock because it's off, you know, 2 or 3 nanoseconds. And that's going to affect us how? Well, all of a sudden, you know, in 4 million years, the calendar won't match up.
Yeah.
4 million.
Ask me how much I care. 4 million years from now.
Well, what if we celebrate Yom Kippur on the wrong day? I mean, they do on a regular basis, on a semi-regular basis. They have to readjust the atomic clock.
Yeah.
Something about the rotation of the Earth or people partying and I don't know.
Yeah, cow farts, too. Probably those. It's got to play a factor. It factors into everything else on this damn planet.
They do the cow farts. They push us further away from the sun.
I bet we could convince Kinsey of that.
You want to try that? See him tomorrow?
Yes.
Tuesdays are supposed to be, right?
Yeah, I think she's on spring break this week.
Okay.
See, that there's actually just enough truth in the cow flatulence thing on climate change, global warming, whatever.
And you have to convince her that most cows are in the U.S. Well, what if the cows on the other side of the planet fart?
Then we go the other direction.
Well, that's why you have to convince her that most of the cows are in the U.S.
Gotcha.
Pushes away from the sun.
Mm-hmm.
That affects the tides.
Carfouts affecting our waves.
Which is even better because she just took astronomy. So she should know.
No, she doesn't know.
I know she doesn't.
She doesn't know if she took astronomy or astrology.
Oh, it still makes me upset.
Because she's even asked, wait, what's the one with the stars? I don't know. You're the one who took the course.
Yeah.
You tell me. Whoa.
I have a really hard time understanding that. I don't know how, and I think at UTA you have to take 1 and 2 in your science class.
Obviously with her, they should make her explain the course.
And she passed it.
Well, I mean, to pass. It's like, what was this course about? The stars? And what? And like, what they do and where they are and how they affect when you were born?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what did you take? Astronomy or astrology? The one about the stars?
You need to be a little more specific.
The ones outside?
Keep going.
The outside stars.
The bright ones. The ones that come in different sizes, like the big and little dupper. You know, like Russ and Chloe.
Big spoon, little spoon.
Russ is bigger and he dips. Russ is a star.
It really does. That day really bothered me. She did not know which she took.
Maybe she gets the course behind her. Maybe she knew at the time.
I think she was in the class at the time we talked about it.
Then I have no answer. Short of, I go back to, with my speculation, if she's got Asperger's, and I mean frying hot version of them. Because things, there are some things she gets immediately,
mm-hmm.
and some she just, she's sort of socially dysfunctional, which is a characteristic of Asperger's.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you test her for that.
There are ways. We have to send her to a doctor. We'd probably have to send her to a pediatrician at this point. Because that's usually who makes those diagnoses.
I bet her mother would probably confirm that. They probably known that she's had Asperger's. She was a kid.
They just never told her.
Maybe they thought it was just funny for her to have it.
Yesterday, it was really funny. We Kinsey and I had lunch with some other friends. Our first time ever to have a Monte Cristo.
What is that?
You know what the Monte Cristo is?
It's a car.
Sandwich.
Sandwich. Oh, I thought you knew what that was. It's like one of the best things ever to happen at Bennigan's, and we had it yesterday at another place.
It's like got a lot of cheese on it?
Yeah, it's cheese and ham, and it's like...
Imagine a ham and cheese sandwich that's been rolled in batter and deep fried, then you dip it in, is it strawberry jam?
Yes.
Yeah. It sounds like something I'm going to have.
Right.
All right, so she had a Monte Cristo. How did you have lunch with her?
Yeah, I know. You know what? She even said that she goes...
No, how did you have lunch with her?
A mutual friend asked if we all wanted to hang out.
Got us. Did you like trick her?
In a group text.
Tell her no. It was like a personal appearance? Square pants?
Yeah, she even said, can you believe it? I'm here.
No, answer the question. How'd you get her there?
It wasn't me. It was someone else that made it happen.
Okay. Where'd you have lunch?
Boomer Jack's.
City.
Arlington. Arlington.
Barlington.
I'm trying to think where it was at.
Bedmansfield.
Arnford.
White Pleasant Grove. Wait.
Yeah. No, wait a minute. That doesn't work unless you shake it up. So she had a Monte Carlo?
No, Monte Cristo. And she was very excited about the Monte Cristo. And we had to convince her to use raspberry jam, because she wanted ranch. And everybody's like, no, you can't.
Ranch makes more sense to me. I've never had one, so I don't know.
I had one once, and it is not a sandwich for me. It was too much, too sweet.
Yeah, it's about 8,000 calories,
that
I think.
Too.
Well, she's this close to death, so it's all right if she has it. So, was there conversation during lunch?
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember exactly what all we talked about, honestly, because I can't even remember where the hell we had the...
I know. It was either... Arlford or Barlington.
I'm sorry, I think some of the meds are kicking in right now because I took some meds earlier. I don't know what Alfie gave to me. Take this.
What'd you give him, Alfie?
I just gave him regular Allegra.
Why?
Because his arm was all Popeyed out.
Has anybody called Dr. Feldman?
I've been meaning to.
But since it's not my arms,
yeah,
I didn't care. You know, to me, 911 is for me.
Yeah. You know, I've been meaning to care. Just haven't quite gotten there yet.
I have it on my bucket list.
Oh, that's good. That's a good place for it.
To care about other people, but so far down the list. Plus, I have to get Russ citrus. I have to not care about my allergies. Stalk new chicks at the station. Oh, you know the new thing that Alfie's pissed about?
Oh, no.
I don't know if you heard about this.
No.
People on their desks. Their personal items, they start etching their driver's licenses into their items.
Really?
I don't know what their big deal is. I mean, it's like they don't.
It's like Alfie had a couple of things at his desk. Uh-huh. I saw this morning and went, that's got a DL number etched on the back of it.
Thank you for pointing that out, though. I do appreciate that.
Well, I didn't have to. Just wait for the cops to show up.
Well, It's just there's an air of distrust now, and I don't care for that.
Really?
And from whence do you think this paranoia came?
I don't know. I mean, it's not like I'm taking everything.
Mostly you take promotional items, things that come into the station for free.
Exactly.
Posters.
Mostly, but
pins.
Mugs.
Mugs, coffee pots, printers, PCs, desks, people. If it's not etched, Alfie goes, well, it must be free.
Yeah.
Somebody left it there for a reason.
Yeah, probably
I was just standing in one spot for 2 seconds.
You know what he did a couple weeks ago? He had a mug that he wanted, so he took it, Then he hit it, not really hit it, but put it in one of the cabinets inside of the break room.
Oh, this is the mug he's stealing over 2 weeks' time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this, I think I found it over the weekend by accident. Some type of colorful mug?
I think so.
I was looking for coffee packets because there are no coffee. There's no coffee up here. I wanted coffee on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And I found a couple of mugs just looking through the cabinets. And one of them just kind of stood out, and I couldn't figure out what it was doing there.
That might have been
so
it.
So if no one goes to the cabinets and claims it, it's his in a certain amount of time, I guess. I don't know what his logic is, but
the state says what?
The state says that after a certain amount of time, it's considered abandoned.
That's if you turn it over to the police.
You just see it as efficient by cutting them out of the process?
Yeah, I mean, if nobody comes looking for it.
It's a coffee mug. No reason to notify the authorities. All I do is steal it. I hide it for 30 days. And then they don't find it. It's mine. It's the Easter law.
An air of distrust?
I don't care for it.
I would imagine it would make a home burglar really upset. The next house he goes into, it's like, well, these a-holes put in an alarm. How dare they?
Is there no trust in this country anymore? We're in a building with a security system and guards and car keys, and people are etching their driver's licenses into important things. No belief in God?
I'm just surprised Alfie hasn't somehow accidentally stolen one of his own things. I mean, everything else...
He knows not. He did that one time. Then he started marking everything AC.
Mm-hmm.
In case he picked it up again, he goes, I already stole this one.
Or I've got two of those already.
I done stuffed that.
I already stole that horse.
So why don't you go ahead and contact HR and tell them you don't like this air of paranoia. And it's creating a hostile work environment.
I don't know if we need to get HR involved, but it is creating, like you said, a hostile work environment. People are always looking over their shoulder. What's the problem?
So that's his problem now. Maybe for a while, I'm just saying, you stop hiding things or stealing things and they'll stop etching things. Because you know how lazy people get.
That's true. Yeah, because once they're lulled back into a false sense of security.
Yeah, look, this coffee mug is set on my desk for almost 3 weeks now. Then it's time to move back in.
That's actually a good plan.
Or, if you were really smart, you would steal all their etchers.
Oh, no.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
6:31, another check on traffic. Alfie Coy is in KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by H&R Block. Let's start off in Dallas. Up on I-35 just before Laureland, got an accident there in the clearing stage. This traffic is backed up back from Overton. Also in Dallas, north on I-35, right at Saner, got an accident blocking the two right lanes. This is that 18-wheeler hanging off the side of the bridge there. Traffic's backed up back from Overton as well. Still in Dallas, south on the tollway just before 635, got a stalled vehicle blocking the right lane. Traffic there is backed up back from Keller Springs. In Fort Worth now, westbound North Loop 820, right at 35W, got an accident there in the clearing stage. This traffic's backed up back from 377. And finally, in Fort Worth, westbound I-30, just before Las Vegas Trail, got an accident there in the clearing stage. This traffic is backed up back from Fulham Street. In memory of Terry Dorsey, KSCS would like you to donate to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund. The Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund serves to honor and preserve the legacy of service of America's Vietnam veterans. To donate today, visit vvmf.org. Victor, Victor, Mike Foxtrot.org. I'm Alfie Coy and the Eagles, Black Thunder.
From the Staples Weather Center, brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. Eagle weather tonight, cloudy, light rain, 47. Tomorrow, cloudy, high of 65. Right now, it's 50 at 97.1 the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Great am getting to it. Very seldom do I check emails during the show, but I've done a few times today. Where's Terry Dorsey's eulogy? It's coming. I have to be in the right state of mind. Had I done it at the beginning of the show, probably would have choked up and lost it.
Mm-hmm. Now, though?
Now I'll just slur through it.
Does it feel weird, though, knowing that when certain people pass, now it's people are starting to expect the eulogy out of you?
Different aspects, yeah. First one that shocked me was Big Tex.
Yeah.
That was overwhelming. I mean, mm-hmm. It was just like, if you didn't do that, I think people would really be pissed. Protests.
Well, you can't make me write something. I remember I was driving either to the gym or coming home from the gym, and I heard that Big Tex had burned down. I went, all right, I got to get to work.
Mm-hmm.
That was at a Whataburger drive-thru, and the text messages, three, it came in from random friends saying, can't wait for today.
Just assuming we were going to do a eulogy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And if it wasn't a eulogy, they were just expecting something.
I think it was after Big Tex. And then I'm sure Kid Craddock's eulogy wasn't expected. They knew we'd say something. But after that one, then with the passing of Terry Dorsey over the weekend, then we've set a pattern.
If it's an icon, it gets memorialized here.
That's a lot of G-damn pressure.
Absolutely it is.
Big Tex was kind of easy.
That really was. Even though he was going up in flames, he really did kind of write that one himself.
My pants is burning off.
I can't feel my legs.
And then you've got the Dallas Fire Department going, Big Tex is on fire. And for going to Big Tex.
You're a naked cowboy.
All right, I got to play the beginning of it. see Big Tex, only he's got his own folder. Oh, look at that. Let's try this one. It says Big Tex short.
Attention, Engine 44, Engine 3, Engine 6, Truck 3, Truck 19, Battalion 1, Battalion 3. Big Tech is on fire.
Engine 44, going to Big Tech.
And I mean, they were dog on that bitch.
Ugh, all over it. They were excited. It was in a weird way.
It's like they had just practiced that. Like we know the protocol if Big Techs were to ever catch on fire.
Yeah, if all these engines, how many was it? Because really, whoever the dispatcher was, it was, I've said this before, it was like, if it's red, it rolls. Mm-hmm. Big Tex is on fire.
Attention, Engine 44, Engine 3, Engine 6, Truck 3, Truck 19, Battalion 1, Battalion 3. One alarm fire at the State Fair, 1100 to 1198 First Avenue, box 060008. Big Tex is on fire.
Engine
44,
going to Big Tech.
777 on channel 1.
777. And all this audio is real.
Yeah.
I didn't concoct any of it.
Over here, Big Tech, there's a large column of black smoke. 777 is out at Big Tech. Got a rather tall cowboy. All his clothes burn off.
777 out. Rather tall cowboy with all his clothes burned off at 1031. Engine 6 out. Big Tech's on fire.
On fire.
Howdy, folks. It's hot.
19's out. Big Tech's gone.
Truck 19 out at 1032. Big Tech's is gone.
Jesus. You and your echo fade. You know what this needs? Need some echo and some fade. Yeah. I'll make bitches cry.
Don't put this pressure on me, Ricky Bobby.
The sad thing is,
all of a sudden, eulogies are my deal now.
Right. And you're right. It's a huge amount of pressure because now it's expected. Like I said, if it's an icon and it leaves us now, people are going to look to you and be like, hey, boss.
Well, you did one for Happy the Clown, Don an icon.
But you made him.
Started there. Then Matthew Teets. And then a few other people in between. And then Big Tex. Then Kid Craddock. You can't ignore Terry Dorsey.
No.
I wasn't planning on it. But there wasn't a lot of comedy to really throw in Dorsey's. I tried. There are a couple of things in there. But he was just one of those guys that you just, it's like I said earlier, working with Pawpaw. And I it's like the people from Craddock's show, I feel worse for people left than the person that died.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know Hawkeye was really close to him. And to do the show today, I'm not sure how he got through it. And I told him when I was talking to him Sunday, I said, if you call me and you want me to talk about, if you want me to reminisce, and you're expecting me to help you not cry, you got the wrong number, Jack. Unless you want me to talk about the time we pulled his pants down and fat shot out.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not a good call to make.
Yeah, I think it's funny when Hawkeye, he's all conversational, then all of a sudden things just turn, and he's like,
Well, he was touched that I called it all. I went, I'm trying not to bother you. I talked to J.R. Schumann, your operations manager. I was just getting some stuff to write down, you know, to talk about Terry tomorrow, his charities, you know, what he's won, things like that I can find online.
Yeah.
Just other stuff. And maybe it's because nobody else in radio, I don't know. Because nobody else does it.
That's
or they're looking for some type of payoff. Merle backstage. Said that.
Yeah, you did.
Well, I didn't know Merle was coming till today.
But now that you know.
Well, you go back to J.R. Schumann at KSCS, go, hey, who did the nice stuff for you when Mr. Dorsey passed away?
That's Russ. Russ did. Russ wants to meet Merle. Russ wants to meet Merle backstage at Billy Bob's. Russ wants to be on the stage with Merle, sing with Merle at Billy Bob's.
In Kia C, because Russ knows it in Kia C.
Yeah, anything else ain't going to happen, so I'll make it happen.
So you're going to cash in your big favor with Merle?
I will not. I will not ask for any favors. That's what radio people do, and I hate radio people. Okay. The reason I'm in radio is because nobody else would pay me. If the only industry really stupid enough to give me a damn dime.
Over and over and over again.
And a pretty, 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 pretty lot of money to do dance parties on the radio on Fridays.
It's a special breed.
Don't lead me in that direction. And then a guy gets lucky over the weekend, picks up a chick, making out in his car or whatever. Then he hears the, was it Uptown Funk?
Yeah, by Bruno Mars.
All he can think is, bring me some scissors! Man, it was everything I could do. I giggled and everything, but finally ejaculated. But she still defriended me on Facebook.
Told all of her friends, like, I don't know, his heads up word was citrus.
Whatever you do, don't make out with him to any song featuring Bruno Mars, because it makes him giggle and ejaculate. I forgot to put it out. A chick that drives a truck. She was someplace, we'll say, out at a truck stop. I'm just guessing. Let's say outside Greenville, Texas.
Okay.
And she pulls in, and the overhead speakers where, you know, you get your diesel, they're playing Merle, Moving On.
Oh, God, of course.
And she goes inside, and they got a bunch of Merle albums featured. She took pictures of those. And there was one more aspect of Merle. I forgot what it was, but the email just said, damn it, Russell.
It's spreading.
Before too long, it's going to be as heard on the Russ Martin Show.
Yeah.
On the 8-tracks, when you stop at Rip Griffin's.
Mm-hmm.
Merle Haggard has her on. If you're a truck driving man and you don't buy this, Merle says you're a
Maybe.
Well, I don't want Merle to call me a
No, you don't. I think Merle's people should capitalize on this resurgence. I mean, it's an opportunity to, you know, to sell new Merle products.
It's just amazing to me that all this stuff stuck in her head. It was like, any time in the past, would Merle Haggard really have stood out? I mean, you're pumping gas. So you hear a girl from Ipanema. You know, just the whole music.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's Merle, and I sang it, now it stands out. Then you go inside, and they're selling Merle. Well, what a shock. They're selling Merle Haggard albums at a truck stop.
I'm surprised.
Somebody had an epiphany and went, we should sell Merle here.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I forget what the third one was, but it was a trifecta for her enough to send me an email. It just goes, damn it, Russell. Sorry, you were going to say what?
I was going to say at those truck stops, I'm surprised they don't have Merle Haggard body pillows.
I'd sleep one of those.
I know you would.
I'd keep me awake on the road.
Mm-hmm.
You want to sleep with Merle with a heart on?
You want to make your own white line to the nation?
You want that white line to be liquid? You want to keep it between the white lines and keep it under the speed limit because nobody wants to get it stopped with a Merle Haggard love doll. Son, you got a Merle Haggard love doll in your truck.
You might get excited. Hey, is that one of them new?
Yeah, that one of them Merle Haggard sex dolls?
How do you like it?
I was thinking about ordering one of those online. How hard is that to clean up? We don't see many of those with truckers coming through Roy City. Do they have rush delivery on those? That Merle Haggard sex doll, how many holes he come with? Is just the mouth? Or can you get him from behind?
Oh, no.
I had to.
There goes your tickets.
Normally, we write people tickets in the HOV lane. But because that's a Merle Haggard sex doll,
mm-hmm.
Gotta let you off on this one. How long before we need a break?
About a minute or two.
Okay. Speaking of the HOV lanes.
Oh, God.
I was driving after I left the... Say, is that one of those I've seen on TV Merle Haggard sex dolls?
You don't mind if I...
Can I try this one on? How much extra for the hat?
Does this one do impressions?
Does this one come in a sidekick, Roy? Play some bass. Okay. I was coming from the allergist on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Chloe and I, we were there for 6 hours. Give me a second. And you know, this neckerchief on the Merle Haggard sex doll doubles as a rag.
Of course it does.
It's so instead of wiping it on his beard. So, what I'm trying to tell you is I'm coming from the allergist on Saturday, and I took 75 through Richardson to go home.
Yeah.
Has anybody ever noticed all those dividers that divide the HOV lane from the normal lanes?
Mm-hmm.
Every one of those, every single one of them has been hit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They go for like miles.
Yeah.
4 or 5 miles, whatever they're made of. I have no idea. I've never hit one. It's like
it's plastic.
Okay. A plastic pole that sticks up out of the ground. Every one of them, every single one of them has a mark on it. And the next time that you go up 75 through Richardson, headed towards the bush. Look at those. There is not one stretch, not 10 feet, not 4 inches of a divider that hasn't been hit. How?
I think there was a story, I want to say it was on Channel 8 a couple of years ago, that showed TxDOT footage of vehicles constantly moving in and out of the HOV lane, knocking those things, you know, down, hitting them, whatever.
I get it to think they need to be flexible in case of an accident. You got to veer left, right, something like that. But how is it every single mother one of them has been hit? And I watched them. In fact, I almost got stopped by Richardson because I was more concerned with the dividers than the road. And it wasn't until I got to the end, I went, yeah, everyone. How?
Because people don't want to be bothered with lines or staying in their lane or staying in the HOV lane. They see it as, hey, I want to get on the HOV lane now. I don't care that there's those things sticking up. I don't care that I'm not allowed to. I'm going to do it anyway.
When they first installed them, they were clean for maybe two and a half months.
And then people realized that they were.
Really, you'd think, okay, just through traffic patterns, there would be maybe 100 feet that would be clean, you know, because people would really need to get off to get over here. All of it, for the ones that were still standing, what purpose do they serve?
They're supposed to deter you from getting in and out of the HOV
lane.
But
they don't, so why spend the money and waste that? That's the other thing I thought about. Why waste the cash on putting those in if you've got the, is it DART? DART police?
Yes.
If you've got them patrolling and Richardson PD.
Okay, gotcha.
If they're patrolling the area, they can tell if you're in the wrong lane. You don't need those dividers. Why spend all that money? And you know there are tens of thousands of dollars that go into putting those little plastic dividers up. Why do it if you know they can drive over them and they don't hold up? It's an absolute waste of cash. And you can't say, unless it's some type of legal aspect of, well, they have to know they're in an HOV lane. You don't think all the damn signs that say HOV lane this way is an indicator?
No, it's not enough, no.
We have to put up little plastic sticks with flags on them that people drive over all the time that we have to replace. The cost is probably, I'll bet you they waste at least $50,000 a year replacing those little sticks.
Ugh. I wish they would make the occasional one of those.
Yeah.
Metal.
Yeah, just a nice iron rod just randomly put in there.
That is dug a mile into the Earth's core.
That's perfect. And just put a sign at the very beginning of the HOV lane. Mm-hmm. All of these dividers are plastic except one.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
Six 57. This is KEGL, Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Alfie Coy is in KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. Not a whole lot going on. Let's get started off in Dallas, northbound I-35, right at Saner Avenue. The whole highway has been shut down due to that 18-wheeler hanging off over the Saner Avenue overpass. Right now, traffic's completely stopped back from Overton. Also in Dallas, north on I-35, right at I-30, right there in the Mixmaster. They've changed all the exits and stuff, so be careful going through there. People are driving slow through there as well because they're confused. Still in Dallas, north on I-35, right at Commerce Street, got a stalled-out vehicle blocking the right lane. Traffic slow in the area. In Garland, northbound 635, right at Centerville-Ferguson, got an accident blocking the HOV and the left lane. Traffic there is backed up back from Oates. And a side street accident for you in Plano. Westbound Plano Parkway between Independence and Coit is completely shut down due to a crash investigation. Plano PD said they could be out there only until 6:30. They're still out there conducting the investigation. Just deal with it for the time being. Traffic there is completely stopped in the area. All right. In memory of Terry Dorsey, KSCS would like you to donate to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund. The Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund serves to honor and preserve the legacy of service of America's Vietnam veterans. To donate today, visit vvmf.org. I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagles Black Thunder.
The Eagle weather brought to you by H&R Block. Cloudy, rain tonight, 47 for the low. Tomorrow, more clouds, another chance for some rain, and a high of 65 right now, 50. The 97 won the Eagle.
I forgot to do a legal ID, didn't I?
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
6:59. This is KEGL Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. What do you got, Alfie?
Guy on line four says he is a police officer.
Where?
In that area where the HOV lane is.
Okay. Yes, Ben.
Hey, Russ.
Yes, sir.
Hey, well, I was just going to let you know about the HOV landmarkers. TxDOT went through and replaced all those less than a year ago. So those were all brand new, and they've all been hit and knocked off and marred and everything in the past 9 months or thereabout.
You have any clue what it cost to replace that stretch?
I don't know, but I know, if nothing else, they had a bunch of people out there for about a month replacing all those. So just in man hours alone, it's got to be a ton.
Then I'm probably guessing under, saying $30,000 a year just to replace those when they're not really necessary. All you have to have is a solid double line, because in traffic training, you don't cross a double solid line.
Yep. Yeah, you're right.
That doesn't matter, though, because no one pays attention to that.
Well, who cares? Why spend the extra money on those dividers if they're getting hit nonstop and the state is paying a crews to go out there? And it's not just the crews and the man hours. It's somebody to protect the crews with the TxDOT vehicles. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure Richardson PD has to show up and block those off. So you've got those man hours. What's the purpose of putting those up if people are still going to hit them?
Yeah.
To me, even on top of the sticks, what's the point of even doing the solid lines? You could save money on paint in addition to the paint itself.
Well, you have to have an indicator of you do not pass over. Is it right, Ben, a double white line?
Yep. Yeah, a double white line you're not supposed to cross.
Or just a solid white one. That means you're not supposed to. People don't pay attention to it.
Anything solid, probably not, but you're right. Yeah. If they show up in court and they go, well, it wasn't a double white line. Well, what about all those plastic dividers you hit?
Well, they weren't solid.
They was jagged. They was like hyphens. They was highways hyphens. Thanks, Ben.
I mean, on a daily basis, I get to the point where I'm surprised any of us make it anywhere alive.
That's about as succinct as you can make it. Because every day, it's like today, there's a story, there's a diesel 18-wheeler someplace in North Texas hanging off an overpass.
And it's not doing it just to look cool.
I'm hollering at the bitches on the lower streets.
Hey! Hey, mamacita!
Open your mouth.
Let me shoot that over here off the overpass.
Every single day, without exception in North Texas, there's a car that overturns. How in the f- do you do that? Can we not coordinate just one day? We can do it where we honor celebrities, we honor politicians, civil rights leaders, where we do one thing. And somehow we're able to sync it up. But one day, we all can't drive like intelligent people.
I know at times it's almost like the engineers at different spots in the roads put little hydraulic pumps to throw your car off onto one side. And just eventually, it's going to happen to you. It's just random. Sometimes it's on 20. Sometimes it's on Beltline.
So you think they actually move the roads?
The way some people drive, maybe.
We could do that, and then we could start this new ad campaign of, hey, give a shit, don't flip. And then we can make more money and charge to put up the signs. Mm-hmm. It's just all the obvious things that we have to put up warning signs over. Slow down. All the news stations, hey, on icy roads, don't drive fast and slam on the brakes. And, you know, knock it off with the swerving left and right. They got to tell us, slow down, leave space between you and the other vehicle. If you go into a skid, try not to hit the brakes. If you go into a skid, turn into the skid.
But most people don't know what that means.
All right, so who cares? At a certain point, it's like, just go out there and drive.
Yeah. That's why.
What do I care if you die?
That's why, like, when the roads are really bad and the ice and everything, you just think, it's like, you know, it's not even worth it. Just because I may know how to drive on it doesn't mean anyone else does.
The only downside is you put yourself in danger when you get out on the roads.
Right.
If you're driving slow and you're kind of watching the cars in front of you, you're leaving a distance, and you're watching what type of residue comes off their tires. If you don't see anything, that is ice.
Yeah.
If there's at least some residue, then the highway department or the NTTA, they put chemicals on there. At least there's some type of slush. But if nothing's coming off, that is ice. But you have to convince people of, okay, really, here's what you need to do in bad situations. And I heard on KRLD last week during the bad weather. a guy from, I don't know who he was, just a road man, truck driving man. They said, well, in the South, we're not used to driving on ice, so it's understandable that we're not trained in it. Well, you know to slow down, but people can't grasp that. Well, the cars in front of me are driving straight. Maybe that's because they've had some type of training, or they're not douchebags.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they have front-wheel drive versus rear-wheel drive. Maybe they've got four versus two. Maybe they didn't slam on their brakes. Yeah. Maybe they didn't gun it on the gas.
And you may have some older drivers that are driving newer cars. I mean, the plethora just goes on and on. It really is a plethora, not a variety. plethora of idiots and excuses on the road of, well, in the past they said pump the brakes. Well, you don't pump anti-lock brakes. That defeats the whole purpose.
Yeah.
Well, in the past, they said don't slam the brakes, pump them. But if I pump them now, they get funky with me. Like some funky cold Medina's going on.
That's my other thing I love when people say, it's like, well, you know, we're from the South. We don't know how to drive on ice. No one does. That's ice.
Well, there are people up north
in snow
on a regular basis that have, you know, tire chains, things that they put on their cars in bad weather, and they've had more training.
That stuff I'll give you, but yeah, that's
most people don't drive on ice on a regular basis, and but for whatever reason
that should tell you to.
In the South, we're cocky. I got this.
We're not cocky. We're stupid.
I know how to drive every day. Putting a little extra crap on the road ain't nothing. That ain't nothing but I just call it road condiment. I'm going to drive the way I want to. And you're normally one of the ones that are hanging off an overpass or upside down.
Those are the people I don't want to be on the road with.
Well, that's why when I drive, I watch everybody around me.
Mm-hmm.
I drive aggressively, but I still watch everybody around me and expect everybody that could even touch me to do the stupidest thing possible and have plans in my mind. Okay, if this car goes this way, where am I going to go? Okay, I'm going to slow down. Or if this 18-wheeler all of a sudden comes over to the left, what am I going to do? I'm going to go over to the right.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It really is. I make a joke out of it, but it really is like automotive Tetris. You're just planning for everybody to do the most retarded thing possible. Twist, turn, whatever. I don't want to take any of these, Alfie. I still have to do Terry Dorsey's eulogy.
Line two, if you want, about the HOV lane dividers. Line one, if you're concerned with driving on ice.
Yes, Jeffrey.
Yes. Hey, Russ. I was born and raised in Alaska, and Southerners do not know how to drive in any amount of snow or ice. And for that reason, the last 2 weeks where we've had the snow, or last week, I should say, with the snow, I didn't go to work. I called in. I was like, I ain't making it because Southerners don't know how to drive in it.
Now, in Alaska, did you guys have different tires, snow tires?
Yeah, we had, you had regular studs on your tires, and then some people had chains. The chains were for going more off in the wilderness and going off on the ice, doing what you needed to do. But down here, if you put studs on your tires, you get arrested. You get, because they're not allowed to be on the roads. They mess up the road, supposedly. But me, I'll shoot a couple of 5/16-inch, quarter-inch screws in my tires, and I'm not sliding nowhere.
I'm spiking it to work.
Yeah.
That's right.
In Alaska, if the roads are bad there on a regular basis, you've got more equipment to keep the roads cleaner.
Yeah.
So it's a little easier to drive. We don't have the money or the manpower or the equipment to keep the road. I'm surprised the NTTA has not road graders, but snow plows.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked. I didn't know until a year or so ago that they actually had snow plows on the tollway.
Well, in Alaska, if we knew that today was sunny, but tomorrow's going to be cruddy, today when it's sunny, we're going to put the ice down before it gets cruddy so that when it gets cruddy, we already got a preemptive on it. We're not going to wait last minute to try to just ice the bridges.
So you're going to make fun of us because we don't know how to drive, but you're the dumb that picked Alaska to live in.
True.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I cannot assist you with that one.
Well, in Alaska, we know how to drive.
You picked Alaska.
And even if you get...
Yeah, you know there's ways out of that place.
Yeah. And if you get in a wreck in Alaska, you're more than likely to hit a bear than you are another person.
Last wreck, I got a moose head.
There's actually a show, I think it was on Discovery. It was called...
And a beer.
It's called Buying Alaska. It was like people go out and they look at like three different Alaskan homes. And what I was watching was like these cabins that are just remote. All three of them had to make sure as part of the selling factor for the homes, what sort of bear...
defense system?
Defense, deterrence does the home have.
Damn.
Yeah.
Do you have the throwdown picnic baskets? They really asked about bear deterrence.
Yes, because the houses, because obviously most of Alaska is going to be remote. There's towns, but the houses that this couple was looking at were remote to where their next neighbor was going to be like a couple miles away, meaning more than likely their real neighbor was going to be a bear. And once you start cooking, it's going to want it.
Baby, don't. I saw this on Saturday Night Live with Sharks. Don't.
No, don't open that door.
Bear Graham.
Oh, no. Which one is it? Is he going to strip or is he going to sing?
That in Pro Flowers or something happened like the Bear Grahams?
I want to say yes.
I just wouldn't open the door. I have a gift from a bear. Salmonogram.
Put that down.
Well, I looked at the peephole and he was holding up a salmon. All right, this last call and then we'll go. Go ahead, Mark.
Yes, sir. Those tubular spring-loaded things?
Yes.
They're $53 a piece, and they only take about 30 seconds to install. The curbs that they install into are like $100 a piece.
Damn.
So you have 152, because obviously the little plastic piece has to insert into something into the ground.
Yes, sir.
And are the things that go into the ground, are they like spring-loaded, or is it just only the plastic piece that moves?
The actual tubular piece that's attached to the curbing is what moves. That's what's spring-loaded.
All right. So $152 for each one of those over, I don't know what the strip is in Richardson Plano, mm-hmm. but it's got to be 5 miles.
It goes from 75 to, it goes from 635 to, I think, Bethany and Allen.
Jeez. Okay, then that's more than 5 miles.
Yeah.
But every one that I saw when I got off 75 with George Bush had been hit. Every one.
The curbing has 4-inch anchor bolts to secure the curbing that those tubes fit into.
How do you know about all this?
We have a quiet zone railroad track, and we're responsible for one half of it in our city, and that's the device that the Burlington Northern requires us to maintain. We had one missing, and we could have been fined for that one tubular section, and they would have taken it out of a quiet zone and made it back where the horn whistle could sound.
Got it.
It's horrible.
If I have any clue what he said.
Mm-mm.
Alfie?
I think he's saying that through this one stretch of land, the quiet zone means they can't use the train horn.
I know, but what did the plastic things have to do with it?
He's saying that part of, I guess, the safety measures in order for them not to be able to use the horn is having to install those next to the tracks to keep idiots away.
What would the HOV dividers have to do with trains?
Not a clue.
It's just they use a similar thing.
Wouldn't a train be a big enough indicator of don't hit this?
Man, people are morons.
He's right. They are.
Let me, you just have, like, okay, this, don't cross solid lines. Mm-hmm. Traffic, part of normal training to get your driver's license.
Yeah, it's supposed to be.
Double white lines, even worse.
Yeah.
Double whammy. I'm sorry, I did the plunger thing. No whammies. But you know when you get an HOV lane, there are indicators. You know that far left-hand lane in certain cities is for the for two or more people, whatever it is. Why they include babies, I don't know.
They're like considered baby, people.
Like babies can drive. Everybody holding around Stewies?
Yeah, you're not carpooling. You were already going.
You're okay to be in the HOV lane. A baby's in the back seat. The dog's driving. It's like at a Family Guy.
It's perfect. In a Prius.
You just have to explain over and over to idiots. Do this. Don't do that. Hey, if you can't tell how deep the water is, don't drive into it. If you catch on fire, drop to the ground and roll around.
Louie the Lightning Bug reminding you to don't touch that down power line.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm Louie the Lightning Bug. Don't lick that.
Do not pee into light sockets. These are the important things that, you know.
Like, all these things at a certain point, you know, will kill you. That's why we don't see Reddy Kilowatt anymore. He's dead. Okay. You guys ready to go?
Yeah.
Okay. I think I can make it through this. Set?
Set.
Did you actually print out any news story for Terry Dorsey today?
I saw one, but the one that I saw, it was just, they said basically the regurgitated stuff from the Star Telegram that said Hawkeye from 96.3 KSCS announced the passing of Terry Dorsey over the weekend. Funeral planning underway. It was very, very basic. But on Saturday night at his ranch in Illinois, Terry Dorsey passed away at the age of...
I'm still out.
Mid-60s.
Okay.
No matter his age, we know when he passed, and he will be greatly missed by those who knew him and those who just knew of him.
And there are very few people that are around when they die. You make note of it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're even made aware. And I'm just glad Hawkeye posted that, because since Terry had moved to Illinois, had Terry's family not posted it on Facebook or social media outlets? Mm-hmm. I don't know how many people would have known. But we think the funeral is going to be... I don't see them flying his body back down here. I mean, he picked Illinois for a reason.
That's because that's where he wanted to retire, on the ranch. But even Hawkeye said this morning his family is planning on flying him here for his memorial.
Okay. Here we go. I said today, praise God. Today there is a new Maserati driving on the golden streets of heaven, praise Jesus.
Amen.
I said one less Maserati here on earth and one more in heaven, praise God. Terry Dorsey from KSCS passed away over the weekend. We lost a broadcast icon who won every major award that radio had to offer, including Billboard Magazine's Local Personality of the Year. He was inducted into the Country Music Disc Jockey Hall of Fame, praise God.
Yes.
Me, I still ain't won sh**.
No, you haven't.
Terry Dorsey, died this past Saturday night, March 7th, 2015, at 5:42. 18 minutes before 6. I'm sorry.
He love his time, chicks.
Dude, I'm sorry.
Don't be. Between him and Scott Sams, but really to me, Terry's the king, because he could do that math in a heartbeat.
I would hope Hawkeye would appreciate that the most.
I bet he, yes. Yeah, somewhere I'm sure Mark is giggle crying.
Plug him with a chug.
Yeah.
All right. Then you want one?
Yeah, I'll do
you
one.
You should.
I'll do one in honor of Mr.
For Terry.
Dorsey.
For Terry.
Yeah.
Offie, you like watching us drink?
Yeah, I guess.
All right.
Terrence, Terry Dorsey. Died this past Saturday night, March 7, 2015, at 5:42, 18 minutes before 6. We on this show always referred to him as a Maserati.
That's right.
Not only because of his exotic good looks,
yummy,
but because he was a top of the line of broadcasters. Praise God.
Amen, bro.
That's right. He's a sports car.
A man who chose Texas to spend most of his career, could have gone anywhere, but chose North Texas to plant his flag. He made us laugh with his Deacon Paul Brown bit, his College of I'm Telling You.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
And of course, his very own, from his very own Vinery.
Is that a word?
Vinery is a word.
Okay.
That's where they got grapes. From his very own Vinery. His own brand of Heine wine. What do you put in your Heine?
That's magic.
And I'm sure there are some people who don't mind his passion. Maybe like Vern Lundquist.
Oh, yeah.
Vern used to host Bowling for Dollars on Channel 8. Mm. Until Terry stole it away from him. Then Terry hosted it. Ah. Stole it from him. Like a Hawaiian shirt wearing thief in the night. Praise God.
Somehow he's in it in.
Terry very seldom made mention of it, but he proudly served our country in the Vietnam War as a tank or a wall or something like that.
What? No.
And what I learned from Mr. Dorsey was that you can bond one-on-one with listeners, praise Jesus, and make them feel like they truly know you. Unlike me, I ain't sitting in your car trying to make you like me. You get on my damn nerves. In fact, get out of the damn car right now.
Rest don't like you.
He told me to jump out of my own car. While I was driving.
It's true. I heard it.
But I'm not a chick.
I was driving the car and I didn't have no sugar in my blood. Can I at least stop for some citrus? Let me back up. In fact, get out of the damn car right now. But Terry Dorsey, praise God, made his listeners feel like they were part of his family. Which is the true essence of a broadcaster who gets it, especially in this day of automation. Praise Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, you say that again?
Terry Dorsey was the true essence of a broadcaster who gets it in this day of automation. Praise Jesus.
Hallelujah. Jesus.
For you see, listeners don't miss voice guys. Listeners don't miss fancy production elements, stupid ticket giveaways, and 30-minute music sweeps. They miss their friends. And that's what Terry became to us. He was our chubby, gap-toothed, Hawaiian shirt-wearing friend. And praise Jesus, I miss him already. But today, praise God, there's an extra sheriff in town. And now, Jesus Christ can gallop with the best. Goodbye, boss.
Riding with the Dorsey gang, 96.3 KSCS.